Alrighty, welcome to High School Football on MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore along with Adam Philpott tonight, and we are at Danvers High School where the Peabody Tanners come in with a record of 1-0, matched by the Danvers Falcons at 1-0. A little nervous here this evening. Adam's going to be filling in for Coach Paul Ingram. Are you ready for this?
I'll do the best I can. Big shoes to fill with Coach Ingram. But
well, you're a big guy, so I'm sure you can fill them. No doubt in my mind. No doubt in Coach Ingram's mind or Coach Kern's either. It's a beautiful evening here at Dr. Deering Stadium. The stands are filling in quite nicely. The sun has just gone down behind the trees over by Beverly Airport, and the beautiful landscape of the high school off to our left and left corner of the end zone with the flag just barely fluttering a tad. So wind will not be a factor tonight. Temperature probably around 68 degrees, and again, no wind. Clear skies, a little cloudy in Gloucester coming up from 128.
Yep, a little overcast, but up here, don't get much better than this for high school football, for sure.
Absolutely. So we're just about ready to go. We got both coaches lined up for you this evening. We'll be talking with Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt, and we'll be checking in with Danvers football coach Ryan Nolan as well. This is MSO News Sports. Glad you're with us. We'll be right back with Coach Betancourt.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Stable businesses form the backbone of strong communities, and nothing provides greater advantage than having strong business banking professionals behind you. Since 1846, businesses on Cape Ann have leveraged the strength and stability of Cape Ann Savings Bank to grow and thrive. Let's talk about your business. Call 978-283-0246 or visit capeannsavings.bank to learn how we can help you grow your business your way. Cape Ann Savings Bank, built on stability.
Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Talking now with Danvers head coach Ryan Nolan, and a big win over Masconomet, first game of the season. And I have heard that coaches are not quite sure what you're going to get out of that first game, either from your team or the opponent. You know, somewhat to expect. What did you expect? What did you get out of the guys? And what were the key to that first game, big win over Masco?
I think we expected to play a very good football team that's very well coached, physical, tough, does everything right. We told the kids a lot. They're, you know, very similar type team to us. What I was very pleased with is we brought intensity and physicality, and our kids worked tremendously hard in the game, in preseason, and in all the things leading up to that. So very proud of the way we approached going into the game, and then once we stepped on the field, we didn't hold back and just came out swinging, ready to go. Very good game. Masco is a very good team. I think we were fortunate. We got a couple breaks, a couple bounces, a couple of special teams plays that really made a difference. So between the special teams and the turnovers, I think that was something that really was a key factor in the outcome of the game.
Opening kickoff return by Matt McCarthy, huge. What does it mean when you do it? What does it mean when it's done to you?
Obviously, you get the points and you're up, and it changes the dynamic of the game. The reality, though, is you're going to have some tough plays and some situations where you're going to have to come back from. So football, like no other sport, that happens. It's emotionally crushing, physically get beat up, and the whole thing is to be mentally resilient, come back in the next play. So you get both sides.
Long before you came to Danvers High School, we did a game with Nick DiPaolo, ran the opening kickoff in a game, and I can't remember who it was again. It might have been the prep or somebody at that point, but he ran the opening kickoff. It was Beverly. It was against Beverly. Back for a touchdown, 6-0 before 10 seconds had gone by, and we're thinking it was a shootout. The game ended at 6-0. So I do remember that. Coach, what are you most pleased with from your team from last week?
Overall, the work ethic going into the game and the way they competed in the game. Across the board, we had some question marks. We still have a younger line, and I think they did a great job offensively. Defensively, we're very pleased with a couple of the linebackers and defensive backs that stepped in. A couple come to mind, Estrangi at the linebacker position, Ron at the middle linebacker, and Little at the cornerback position. All those kids really stepped up and played well for us as first-year starters at those positions. So very pleased, and the line did very well. Matt McCarthy, we know he's a player. Justin DiDomaso showed everyone what kind of an athlete and what kind of a threat he is. And I think Brendan Tracy really did a good job controlling the game, making good decisions. He ran with the ball well. He put the ball on the money when he had to. And he tucked the ball and ran when he had to, too, and made great decisions. So a lot of positives to look at.
I've been asking everybody this week, when you see the film session, I want you to tell me about a lineman that maybe you didn't notice during the game and said, okay, this guy, you checked out pretty well for us.
One of the guys on the defensive line I thought did a really good job was Murphy. Did a really good job for us. He got off the ball. He was, you know, he was physical with what he did as one of our smaller guys. On the other side, on offensively, Wilichowski, who's a sophomore for us, came in and played great in the second half. Really, really stepped up. And when he was thrown into the fire, he didn't flinch at all. Cronus, Stone, Ledesma, all the kids really played well. It was a collaborative team effort, and both of our tight ends blocked well, and both of our fullbacks are outstanding football players. So across the board, really was pleased with what we saw with those kids. Now, that being said, we've got a lot to work on as far as details and all the little small fundamental things and techniques.
No, that sounds like you're going to need all cylinders running smoothly. You got a big team coming in on Friday night.
Peabody is been a football power for years and years and years. They're a big team. They're athletic. They're tough, physical. They can stretch the field vertically. They've got a bunch of skilled guys that, if you don't tackle them well, are going to go. Defensively, they're ultra-aggressive. They're really getting after people. They're kind of in a new defense, more of a 4-3 look and really being aggressive. So, you know, they're really a solid, solid team. We have to be ready. And they come out and, you know, they're always a tough team and they're always physical. So we know we're in for a battle.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
That's Danvers football coach Ryan Nolan.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Summer at the Gloucester House Restaurant in Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linguata.
Where you can sit on the dock, you can watch the lobster boats unload their fresh catches every day. You can sit right there on the dock. And this year, I think we're going to do something different. We're actually going to serve baked haddock specials outside, right on the dock.
The Gloucester House is a great spot for corporate functions, anniversaries, birthdays, rehearsal dinners.
We serve the freshest seafood from our boats to your plate. Only at the Gloucester House in Blue Collar Lobster.
What could be better?
This is MSO News Sports. I'm talking now with Peabody head coach Mark Betancourt. And, Coach, nice win last Friday night, first game of the season on Summerhill. What was maybe some of the keys to that game?
Well, anytime you start off a season with a win, it's a big deal, regardless of who you're playing. Some of them beat us last year down there. It was good to come back and get them this year. Key to our season is we're putting in a new offense as well as putting in a new defense, and that's a difficult thing to do in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
So every day we just try to get a little bit better. Coming into the scrimmages and coming into the Somerville game, even going into this Danvers game, we're still trying to see how much they're picking up, how much they're learning, and where we're at as far as offense and defensive scheme. And, in practice, every day we seem to get a little bit better. We got better as the scrimmages continued to go on, and then, it looked like we played pretty well against Somerville.
What are one or two of the things that you learned from you guys first week? Because it's tough to, Paul Ingram always says it's so tough figuring out what to do in that first week.
Well, it's a little different again this year because we're watching to see who's picking up what and who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of evaluating is being done, even in the first game, even in the second game, making sure we have the right combinations together and that those combinations are working and getting better. We've moved some guys around. Every game we seem to be looking at somebody else that looks good, either on film or in practice, and moving them to another spot. So it's kind of a work in progress here in the first year, putting in this new offense and new defense.
How does a kid take to you're moving him where maybe he hasn't played before, and you think it's better for him to be there, but he thinks he should be somewhere else?
Generally, when we move a kid, it's to get him on the field. So instead of being the fourth strong safety, we want to make you the backup outside linebacker. So we're generally moving kids into a better position. And obviously some kids are being pushed back to maybe where they don't want to be. But that's going to be on them. And we've done a good job, I think, as a coaching staff explaining to them. They know exactly where they stand. They know what the depth chart is. They know why they're in their position on the depth chart. And it's their job to make sure that they continue to communicate with the coaches to know what they need to do better and to go out there and try to do better and earn their spot.
This is why you've been doing it so well for so long. Okay. All right. Tell me a little bit about, I've been asking coaches this week, Coach, about line play and maybe what you saw in film that maybe you didn't see during the game about one of your linemen.
We have three linemen returning. Three of our captains are in our offensive line, and that's a huge, huge advantage, I think, because they've played together before. Aiden Kelleher, senior lineman, and Phil McCoche, a junior lineman, have been the two that really fit into that blend of five and have really done a nice job of getting to know what they're supposed to do, when they're supposed to do it, and communicating with those three captains to make sure everybody's on the same page. Aiden got some time last year. Phil didn't get as much time as Aiden did. But, looking at the film in the first game, we're very happy where they are right now.
Danvers got off to a quick start, so what do you expect from these guys? Nice win over Masconomet.
Well, Danvers-Peabody is always a good game. And it seems to be that way. I coached the baseball team going against Roger Day for all those years.
He's retiring. I don't know if you heard that.
Right, I did hear that.
Okay. Rumor says.
And what a wonderful career he has, and I wish nothing but the best to Roger. But, every time we play Danvers in football and baseball, bring a lunch. It's going to be a game. It's a battle. It's very physical. I think they're both kind of similar type of kids, hard-nosed kids that want to beat Peabody, and we want to beat Danvers. So absolutely. This always has the makings for a great game, and hopefully that's what we get tomorrow night.
I have to ask you one last question, Coach. Baseball and football, Roger Day baseball and football, you guys ever have conversations about the crossover?
I tried to get Roger to come over here one year.
Okay.
I was hearing that he may be leaving Beverly a couple of years ago, and we talked about having him come over here, but... obviously, he ended up staying in Beverly, and what he did over there was just remarkable. And what he does in baseball is remarkable. Roger's a good friend of mine. We've known each other for a long, long time. And to be honest with you, I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss the rivalry that him and I seem to have. The way he runs things, the way he operates, is different than most. You have to keep, you can't close your eyes for a second. You can't rest for a moment that he's going to take advantage of something. And a lot of the things that we do, I kind of take from Roger. He's been around for a long time. I have a lot of respect for what he's done. And, sometimes, you'll see me pull some Roger ball.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Peabody Coach Mark Betancourt.
And we are back live as we are ready to go. It is high school football between Peabody and Danvers this evening from Dr. Deering Stadium. I'm Rick Moore along with Adam Philpott. I know I'm going to call you Paul Ingram one or two or three times today.
That'd be an honor.
Okay. And, Peabody has won the toss. They will receive. We will receive down to our left, I believe, and Danvers will be kicking off from right to left as we're just about ready to get underway. Still not fully nighttime yet, but a gorgeous evening here at Dr. Deering Stadium. Near stands pretty much full, and a tremendous place to watch a football game from. For the Peabody Tanners, they'll have Dylan Peluso back deep to receive. I've got back in twin safeties with Kyle Maglione, and it's a short kick that's going to bounce to the 30-yard line and covered up there by an upback right at the 35, I should say. And I don't see you've got a number 84 in your program, and that is Owen Carr, a senior wide receiver. So the Peabody Tanners will start off from their own 35-yard line. That's not a bad position to start from. As we're just underway, clock didn't move as the ball was downed. The receiver actually was on a knee when he caught it and then just went to the turf. So, first and 10 for Peabody starting from their own 35. They're at the near hash mark moving from left to right. The quarterback is Matt Jendrasiewicz. And he is back in the shotgun with a couple of backs with him. Handoff to the right halfback, gets nothing. That's Angel Polino. First play from scrimmage, just a counter play off of left tackle, gets nothing.
Going to see a new wrinkle from Peabody this year. They're moving on to the spread offense. Most one would think mainly looking to pass the ball, but Mark Bancourt's still looking to run that football out of that spread offense. Still trying to dominate the line of scrimmage and get the passing game going off of that run game.
3 yards in a cloud of dust forever, going all the way back to the 70s and Art Adamopoulos since I've known about this team. Again, we've got one receiver off to the right. Handoff, run play again. Looks like Polino comes to the line of scrimmage, gets nothing. It's Angel Polino, junior running back, and he is stopped for no gain once again. Third and 10. Now, we were without a clock at Beverly on Saturday, and man, that wreaked havoc with me. I got the score wrong at the end of the game. But we do have a clock running very nicely over here, and our MIAA official is John Vroom, V-R-O-O-M. John Vroom is our MIAA official, and our public address announcer tonight is Brent Gable, not the venerable Sean Daugherty, who's usually here. Brent, of course, a teacher here at Danvers High School. All right, so you got trips off to the left side. That's the far side of the field. Matty J back in the shotgun. Long signal count. Gets a low snap. Fires it off to the left. It's caught. Low catch. Running along the line of scrimmage and getting nothing is Jared Ridley. So it's three and out on the first possession for Peabody High School.
Nice series there by the Danvers front seven. Dominated the line of scrimmage, like we said. It's going to be big for Peabody not to get behind the chains. They don't want to get into those third and long situations.
Adam Philpott filling in for Coach Paul Ingram, Massachusetts Hall of Fame football coach Paul Ingram. Won't be here for the next couple of weeks. He's going to be traveling on behalf of his daughter. Most people know the story of that awful tragedy. As the ball hits at the 35 on the punt, rolls down to the 25, 26-yard line where the Falcons will take over. Danvers' daughter, Paul's daughter, Jesse Ingram, a PhD research scientist at Dana-Farber from MIT, passed away after being diagnosed a very short time with cancer this past springtime. And Paul is going to be overseas with his family for a series of talks in Jesse's name that she started, and she's well-renowned in the research community. So Paul will be gone for a couple of weeks, and he'll be back probably around the first weekend in October. First and 10 for Danvers, and they're starting at their own 27. I think I said 37, but it's at their own 27. 8:58 left to go. First possession for the Falcons. Brandon Tracy is the quarterback, and this is a run play. I don't know who carried it, but it's a couple of yards. Is it McCarthy?
Yep, number five.
Yep.
Senior captain.
He is our player of the week from last week, and he gets 2 yards to the 29-yard line. For the Danvers Falcons, they've got Tom Walfield up front. He's the junior captain at center. Andrew Cronus, Lance Ledesma, Ron Murphy, and Jacob Stone, the front line. That's a great name for a lineman, Stone.
Absolutely.
And he's a big dude. McCarthy is the tailback, and right now Tracy is under center. He's got a man in motion from right to left. Ball is on the right, the near hash mark. Tracy's rolling to his right. He's going to throw it long. Covered. Ball is tipped, and it's incomplete at the Peabody 40-yard line. A couple of receivers, defenders back there on Almany Vargas, the intended receiver.
I think Tracy just missed his first read in the short flat there, number four. Looked like he was open on the play, opted to go for that longer route. Now they're a little backed up to see if they can convert on third down.
Number four is Ezra Lombardi, a junior. Yeah, I noticed that. Looked like he hitched and then...
It seemed like he had a little time.
Yeah. All right, so it's third down now. And about eight to go for the first down. No score, just underway here. Peabody and Danvers in their big rivalry game. And this is a big one. Tracy's now in the shotgun. He's going to roll to his right, sprinting to his right, firing to his right. Short pass complete. And it's caught for a first down after the receiver broke a tackle. He was stopped short. It's McCarthy who, with that second effort, gets the first down out to the 42. So McCarthy can do it all. He's the leading running back with over 1,000 yards rushing last year. And last week he had over 200 yards all-purpose, including that 93-yard touchdown run on the first play, the opening kickoff. Ball is at the 43. So that's a nice 14-yard gain. Clock showing 7:50 left to go. First quarter, no score. Tracy has McCarthy in motion as Tracy's in the shotgun. He's going to keep it, run right up the middle, and pulls his way out to the 49.
That was a nice surge there from the QB, Tracy, taking the linebacker with him. Seldom do you see a quarterback taking a linebacker with him on the play, but...
Yeah, he's a big kid, too. Big, tall kid. And
don't forget, folks, the band's doing a 50-50
rep. It's about 6 yards, so it's second and four.
We've already seen a multitude of formations here at Peabody. We've seen the power eye. We've seen the spread, the single back. So seems like they're willing to mix it up.
Back in the eye right now with McCarthy, the tailback. Second and four. Hand off to the upback. Flash it through all the way down to the 40, inside the 40-yard line. Oh, big run that time. Is that Romanague? Who was that, number eight? Can you...
Didn't quite catch it.
Me either.
One of those quick-hitting fullback traps. They're so quick, we didn't catch the number.
Might have been Canova. Might have been Canova, the upback. He ordinarily would be. So it is a first down to the 37-yard line of Peabody. So that's a 14-yard gain. Just blasting it up the middle. Was Canova. He's the upback. McCarthy's the tailback in the I formation. One man in motion, split out to the left side. Hand off to the tailback, McCarthy. Dances around inside and struggles to get 1 yard to the 45. Maybe 2 yards. I'm sorry, to the 35. Looks like it is a 2 yard gain. So second and eight. Moon coming up off to our left. Beautiful clear skies. First quarter moon. Clock showing 6:14 left to go. First quarter, no score.
So far, a great pace for the Danvers offense here. Moving the chains, not trying to do too much. Stay within themselves, stay within the offense. And killing some clock here as well.
Same formation, it's the I. With Lombardi in motion. Play action, throws, short, complete at the 30. 25-20, do I see flags flying over there? Can you see the number? I have a hard time with the receiver's number. Is it? I can't see. 12, I think it might be.
Strange on the catch, but there's a penalty on the play.
Strange, 30.
Yep, Jack Strange, yep. Okay. So there is a penalty, and let's see if it's going to be brought back. All right, the ball was downed at the 23, so it was a 12-yard gain, and Strange with the reception gets credit for the 12.
It's like a hold's going to wipe it out. That was a well-set-up play by Danvers there, a couple of plays in a row with the eye, running up the middle with McCarthy. Then they ran that play-action pass. You really saw those defensive ends get sucked in. They bit on the fake, and Tracy had wide-open passing lanes.
All right, so, yep, wipe out the completion. It's a one-yard loss because of the penalty. So it will be, looks like second and about six for the first down. What do we have now? Stop.
Timeout called by the Tanners with 5:27.
They take a timeout. I'm going to have to get my field glasses here because I cannot see those numbers when they go off to the far side. We're down to 5.5 minutes left, and as you say, Adam, good pace. What do you notice about the Peabody defense? I mean, just playing. Are they getting beat at the line of scrimmage?
I think they just got to stay true to their keys. Danvers is kind of mixing up their formations. And that's when you're doing that, you can really get the play-action pass. So it's going to be important for them to stick to their keys, not bite on the fakes. just stay true to what their the game plan is. They've had a couple big chunk plays with the pass to McCarthy. Obviously, he's a shifty guy. They got to do a better job of corralling him in the open field, not letting him break too many tackles.
All right, it is second and five for the Falcons with Lombardi in motion at the I. It is to the up back, and that is Frangie. A couple to the 31. So it's a 3-yard gain. And now it's third and about four for the first down. Right back to the line of scrimmage are the Falcons. Tom Walfield is the center. He brings them up front. Rolling out to his right. Quarterback fires it, and it's knocked away at the 20-yard line. Wish they'd play on this side of the field. Incomplete, so it's fourth down.
Little spread from Denver's that time. It looks like they like to get Tracy out of the pocket, get him rolling to his right.
Mm-hmm.
That must be where he feels most comfortable throwing. Looks like they got a little lucky there. Safety number six for Peabody did a nice job jumping that route.
Lombardi was the intended receiver. And that was Joe Mastromateo that Adam was just mentioning on the Peabody defense. They've got Abe Kaba, Mike Locke, Chris Glass, and Tyler Norman up front on defense. Rolling to his right, quarterback Tracy fires it, caught, nice play at the 25, gets loose to the 15, and tackled about the 12-yard line. Is that McCarthy?
I believe so.
No, that's changed because that's a Falcon. First down!
Is that McCarthy on the catch? Yep.
Yeah, the safety Mastromateo is just a second late getting to the flat there. Ball was able to get past and get into McCarthy's hands, and it seems early on when he gets the ball in his hands, he can make make a play out of it.
Boy, he can. Runs, catches. Ball is at the 12, first and 10 for Danvers. This will be the 10th play of the drive that started back on their own 27, and they're eating up the clock with 4.5 left to go first quarter. This is a direct snap, it looks like. Maybe a couple of yards. Is it I don't know if it was Tracy or if it was...
I believe it was Tracy.
Yep.
On the QB keeper, swallowed up by Abe Kaba, 52, the defensive lineman there.
Gets one. Second and nine. They can get the first down without having to score the touchdown. Clock still moving. Falcons have taken one timeout. Danvers hasn't used any so far. I mean, Peabody hasn't used any so far. Danvers is the Falcons. All right, so it's on the far hash mark. Danvers moving from right to left. Looks like an offset eye. McCarthy, no, but it's a rollout on the play action. It's complete. No, it's dropped. The receiver was hit. Canova was hit just as he caught the ball, and it was knocked away. Incomplete. They're
Once
down.
Again, we see those PBD linebackers just getting sucked up a little bit by the threat of that run with McCarthy. Just so focused on making sure number five doesn't beat them that they're seems like they're letting some passes go in the flat. They lucked out there. Strange you couldn't hang on to it.
Jake Sousa, Joe Casey, Kyle Maglione are the linebackers. Dylan Peluso, Joe Mastromateo, Brandon Kniff, Carlos Hernandez, the D-backs. Third down. And about 9 to go for the first down. About 11 to go for the touchdown. High snap, and it's corralled. Gets away, does the quarterback Tracy, and he goes forward for a couple of yards. Almost disaster for Danvers, but Tracy picked up a couple. Well, let's see, right at the 10. Gets 1 yard. Now it's fourth down, and Falcons are huddling up. They'll go for it.
Max Leak to attempt a field goal.
Oh, incorrect.
27-yard attempt for the sophomore.
Looks like they will attempt a field goal at the 17-yard line, and it looks like it is good.
And the kick is good.
27-yard field goal.
56 of the first quarter.
For the Danvers Falcons. And I got to ask you the number of the kicker because I couldn't see it.
That would be number 6, Max Leet,
okay.
Sophomore kicker.
Yeah, that was strong.
But if you're Peabody, you got to be happy holding them to a field goal there. Danvers marched down the field with relative ease. Had a few missed opportunities with the drop pass and the high snap, and Peabody defense was able to get out relatively unscathed with only three. Let's see if they can put something together here on this next drive.
All right, for the Falcons, that's a 27-yard field goal by Leet. And that will finish off a 12-play, 54-yard touchdown scoring drive that came short of a touchdown. 2:56 left to go in the first quarter. 27-yarder. Both teams were kicking 40-yard field goals before the game, you know, in warm-ups. And again, there's no wind. Beautiful night. But Danvers has scored first. Nice long drive that ended at the 10 with Peabody stiffened up on D. So Leet will kick off. It is Leet. And it's going to be coming down to the 22-yard line. Mumped there by the receiver, picks it up and is running forward and stopped after a short gain. And for the Tanners, they will start once again. Decent field position. That was Kyle Maglione with the return.
Tackle for the Falcons. Be first down and 10, Tanners from their 29-yard line after the kick by Leet.
So Peabody takes over at their own 29. Second possession. They've only had three plays in this first quarter so far.
It's going to be important for Peabody to stay ahead of schedule here. Don't get too far behind those chains. Stay on track. Like you said, 3 1/3, 3 1/3 for Coach Betancourt.
Trips to the left, but it's going to be a keeper on the direct snap to the quarterback. Matty Jay gets it close to the first down, out to the 37.
Quarterback keeper Strange getting on the tackle.
Matt Jandrasevitz gets it to the, going to put it at the 48, so it's about 1 yard short of the first down. And it's at the 38, I beg your pardon. So a 9 yard gain. And again, they've got three receivers far side of the field left. Back in the shotgun is Matty J. One running back with him. It looks like a tight end is on the left side. Short pass complete to the left at the 40. Out to the 45-yard line. First down run is Jared Ridley after the catch.
Good job by Jandrasevitz here to get that ball out quick, get into a playmaker's hands. And that was number 11, Ridley. Yep. He was able to do a little something with it there and move the chain. So
7 yard gain on the pass and catch and run. First down for the Peabody Tanners as we are inside 2 minutes now in this first quarter. They're running from left to right, all white uniforms, white helmets with the blue trim, and of course the longhorn on the side of the helmet. Option keeper, about a 5 yard gain for the quarterback. Nice deke that time, looked like he was going to pitch it out, and then had some room off of left tackle, out to the 49. Matty J gets about 4. Second and 6. Peabody up front on defense. Tom Walfield, Jacob Stone, Chad Aboud, and Lance Ledesma.
Starting to see a lot of the different options that Peabody has out of the spread, some plays that they might not have seen in years past. We've already seen the little wrinkle option there, some quick swing passes out to the flat. So
they'll send the receivers wide right this time. That's the far side of the field, as again it's a keeper on the run by the quarterback, and he stumbles forward across the 50 to the 48. So Matty J gets three to the Danvers 48. That makes it third and about 4 or 5 to go for the first down. Clock still moving with 43 seconds left to go. Danvers leading 3-0 on a 27-yard field goal. Mike Locke, Abe Kaba, Chris Glass, Aiden Kelleher, Phil McCoche, front line for the Danvers Falcons. Matt Jandrasevitz, the quarterback, handoff run play, and getting hit at the line of scrimmage was Luis Garides, and I don't think he got much, if anything.
Brown is in on the tackle, number 51.
I'm going to say nothing on that. In fact, he lost a yard.
Good penetration by the Danvers defensive line there. Buckle down on third down.
Bring up a fourth down and 4 for the Tanners.
Looks like they're going to bring on the punt team for Peabody.
Declan Russell is the punter, but that ends the first quarter. So after one period of play here from Dr. Deering Stadium in Danvers, it is the Danvers Falcons 3 and the Peabody Tanners nothing. We'll be back.
The Radford Tavern in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Radford Tavern is open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, closed Mondays. The restaurant features two separate function rooms ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Radford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
What could be better than a Patriots win? A great rate on a new mortgage with Institution for Savings. Score early and often with extremely competitive rates on our 30, 15, and 10-year fixed residential mortgages. We have lightning-speed turnaround time and never sell our loans, so you always know who to turn to for help. Apply 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-3106. Institution for Savings, member FDIC, DIF, and Equal Housing Lender.
On the first play of the second quarter, Peabody goes for it on fourth down, and Kyle Little almost intercepts it. Now, Danvers takes over first and 10 at their own, 49-yard line. And this is a run play.
The carries for about two at the Tanner's 49-yard line.
Back to the eye from McCarthy. Looks like there's a little pushing and shoving going down on the field. To be expected from two crosstown rivals here.
Yes. Where's the ball? It's a 48, so a couple of yards, 3 yards, call it. So 3 yard gain for McCarthy.
Falcons from their own, from the Tanner's 49-yard line, pick up a two on the play.
Oh no, it's only they sit back at the 49. Okay, so it's just a 2 yard gain. Second down and 8. Just underway in the third quarter, only scoring that first quarter, 27-yard field goal by Max Leet.
And the Falcons call a timeout with 10:13 left to go in the second quarter.
So Danvers takes the timeout. This will be the second possession for the Falcons. It's also their second timeout, and as you know, you get 5 1/4. I was talking to Coach last week, and he was telling me that some of the adjustments you can make at halftime come from the kids. In other words, listening to the kids. Did you ever go back to Coach Ingram and tell him what you saw? Do you do that at halftime? Does the coach ask you guys what you see?
Yeah, they'll generally ask for your opinion, even though you know they're watching from field level. Sometimes there's things that you can only really see if you're out on the field playing. They were really receptive of what we had to say and took that opinion. And as a player, it's nice to know that coaches have that confidence and that trust in you to make those calls in games.
Here's a pass play, a long pass play, complete for the Danvers Falcons. McCarthy, I think, on the reception again. All the way down to the 29-yard line.
Great move for the Falcons. Move those sticks. It's another Falcon. First down!
I didn't see the number again. Number 3 this time, I believe, on the reception. So it wasn't McCarthy. It was Vargas. Almany Vargas with a nice fingertip catch.
Coach Nolan really has Peabody defense on their toes, mixing up the run and the pass real well, keeping them off balance, and he's got to be happy with the way their offense is performing so far.
19-yard gain, first and 10 on the pass play. Back to the I formation. Quarterback is under center with Lombardi in motion. It is the up back this time.
Strangie on the carry, maybe one. Strangie, only marked at the 30-yard line.
Who stopped after a short gain if he got anything. Jack Strangie. Yeah, it's no game. Right at the 30. And as you may surmise, I'm due for eye surgery soon. I've got a bad right eye. It's messing things up tonight. My goodness. It is a ball at the far hash mark. Second and 9 for Danvers. It should be, well, okay. You got the I once again with Lombardi in motion from right to left, and Tracy under center. He shoots it short. It's complete at the 28, and Tranji gets more yards inside the 25 to the 22.
Great play by the senior.
Just a short pass, and they had a lane out there on that right side with blockers in front.
Great pass and catch.
And the ball is all the way down to the 21-yard line.
They move those chains for another Falcon.
That play action is really giving Peabody fits right now. Tracy's doing a good job just keeping it simple, finding the open guy and delivering the ball in a place where they can do something with it.
How's his ball handling? Looks like he's doing some good faking. The guy's carrying it out
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. That's one thing Coach Ingram always preached to our quarterbacks is you really got to sell the fake. And you can see it's working here. Those linebackers, that front seven, they really buy in, run into the ball. And Trace is able to get outside the pocket and make some plays.
First and 10 for Danvers. They're knocking on the door again, leading 3-0. Ball is at the 21-yard line. McCarthy bounces off one tackler. Can't get away from another, but he gets down to the 17.
Good job there by number 3, Kyle Maglione, the defensive back. Kind of got McCarthy by the shoestrings there. If he wasn't able to lock him up, we might have been seen a touchdown there.
McCarthy just bounced off a hit at the line of scrimmage.
You can just see it in the way he moves. Looks like he's just a different type of athlete.
He's very wiry, too. He's not a big, huge guy.
Yep.
He's tall, but very wiry, very shifty, and strong. Got to be strong to play football, don't you? I formation set up behind Tracy. Second down and about 6. McCarthy again going to his right. Big lane, gets the first down. Inside the 10 to the 8 or 9. First and goal for Danvers. Nice run. Second effort again by McCarthy.
And the run.
It's at the 9.
Falcons first down inside the 10-yard line.
This will be the 7th play of this drive. Down to 7.5 minutes left to go in this first half. 3-0. Peabody leading it. And Peabody takes timeout this time.
And Peabody calls another timeout.
That's the first timeout charge to the Tanners. Danvers has used 2 and really getting dark now on the far side with the moon shining brightly, and I think that's Venus setting over there in the west. Gorgeous place.
Couple long drives from Danvers paired with a few short drives to Peabody. That really puts strain on that Peabody defense, especially their front seven. When you're out on the field for that long, it's just really is a grind. So we'll see how that impacts the game as the quarters move on here.
Well, this is the 20th play from scrimmage for Danvers. There goes McCarthy, and he is in. Touchdown, McCarthy off the right side for 9 yards, and it's now 9-0.
Great 9-yard run by the senior there. Now they coming in for an extra point.
A lot of room in that right side, wide open.
Yep, that was impressive. McCarthy saw a defender there at the goal line, but that wasn't going to faze him. He saw Bay Dirt lowered his shoulder. Impressive run there.
So the Falcons will go for the point after, leading 9-0 at the moment. What would you prefer to do, offense or defense? What was your favorite?
I had a little bit of a favor towards the defensive side of the ball.
You like to hit people?
Yeah, hitting people, like making plays and
Right
being a wide receiver in the Gloucester right wing tee offense.
You don't see the ball a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take defense.
Okay. And you were a big target, as I recall. But, all right, so in the second quarter, the Falcons break out to a 10-0 lead now as McCarthy scores from 9 yards out on just a quick pitch to the right side. Actually, yeah, just a tailback to the right. And lead adds the extra point. For the Falcons, that's 7 plays and 51 yards. They now have a total of 105 yards of offense in this first half, and they lead 10-0. 7:34 left to go, first half. Check the Peabody offense for you. They have a total of 20 yards so far.
Yeah, Coach Bancourt's got to do something here to get these guys moving. I'd expect to see them kind of get back to that ground-and-pound run game out of the spread there, see if they can regain the line of scrimmage and get some positive gains.
Ground-and-pound, that's Peabody's famous for that. So Danvers has opened up a 10-0 lead in this first half. This kick is going to go toward the far sideline at the 19-yard line, and does it go out of bounds, or did he step out of bounds?
I think he stepped out of bounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Out of bounds at the 15-yard
line. Oh, the receiver was going out of bounds, and the Peabody receiver grabbed it and stepped out of bounds instead. Well, that's high school. You live and learn, right? So, Peabody pushed back now at their own 15. This will be the worst start for them so far. They started off at their own 35 on the first drive and their own 29 on the second. Now they're hemmed in at their own 15 on the far hash mark. Tanner's moving from right to left. Falcons in their blue jerseys with gray pants and the white numerals. Tracy is the quarterback. Two running backs with him. It's a handoff from left to right. Getting a lane. There he goes. Oh, and it's out to the 25-yard line. Get the number.
25-yard line by senior Matt McCarthy.
McCarthy with a tackle, but it's looked like it was Jared Ridley with a run.
And there's a Mark Bancourt offense that we've known. Between the tackles, power run game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if they can piggyback off that.
Right out to the 27, 12-yard gain for Ridley.
It's going to be important for them to string some plays together, give that defensive line a blow, let them get some rest, try to put some points up on the board.
Brendan Kniff is split out to the far side left. Matty J in the shotgun, and it's an option handoff, but there's a penalty on the play after no gain. Maybe a loss of a couple.
Let's see what the call is.
Looked like Angel Polino was the runner that time. And it might have been Polino on that run prior to this. Where's the official? There he is. Holding on Peabody. Decline because it was a loss back to the 22, about a 5-yard loss.
13 for the Tanners from their own 22-yard line. Great D there by the junior, Tom Walfield.
So Danvers just bottling up Peabody just after the one run. They've had one good gain by Paulino of 12 yards, and that's it. Now they go the 5-yard loss after that. Trips again to the far side, to the near side, rather. That's the wide side of the field. Everybody jump, but there's no penalty. Going to be a long throw way downfield. Man is open. Catch is interrupted at the 40-yard line. Oh, my goodness. Paulino. No, it wasn't Paulino. It was Declan Russell. Over the shoulder, he was led beautifully, and he just dropped it at the 40-yard line.
That's a big break for the Danvers defense there. As you said, number 22, Declan Russell, was able to get behind the defense. Well-placed ball by the QB. Just sometimes.
And he broke
off the head.
He broke away from the pack, too. He's got speed.
He did, yep.
Russell. All right, that makes it third down. And about seven to go for the first down. Tanner's back at their own 22, trailing 10-0. Pass play this time. Looking left, looking right. Running the ball is the quarterback, Matty J. Gets it all complete to the 30, 40. Makes the move at the 50, 45, 40. Another move. Tucks it back inside to the 35-yard line of Denver.
Interesting play there. It almost seemed like Jander Savage might have passed the line of scrimmage there on the throw, but I don't see any flags. I think that's what Coach Nolan over there on the Danvers sideline is trying to argue with the refs, but to no luck.
I think that was Paulino with a catch and run, and he put some moves on, made some terrific shifts and shakes, and it's all the way down to the Danvers 35-yard line.
That is a huge conversion for this Peabody offense. Struggling to get something going through first quarter and a half of this game. They get a huge break. Good job by Dranger Savage keeping the play alive with his feet and finding the open receiver.
Is there a penalty coming up?
On the
penalty after the play. So the ball is placed at the 35. It's going to be stepped off. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Back to the 48-yard line. Where's the white hat?
And the penalty moved the ball back to the 10's 49-yard line, first down and 10.
Did you see the call, Adam?
I did not.
Oh, my goodness. It was after the play.
Yep.
So it's got to be unsportsmanlike or
yep. Head official was still talking with the Danvers sideline there.
Wow.
So that's going to negate a large chunk of that play for Peabody. Shooting themselves in the foot a little bit.
Well, it's a 15-yard penalty from the 35, so it had to be at when the ball was dead. Back to the Peabody 49-yard line, but it was a 43-yard pickup for Matty J to Paulino. Again, there's a whistle before the play starts. That's generally on the offense.
It looks like we're going to have a false start.
Yep, there it is. So we'll push it back to the 44.
5 yards, first and 15 from their own 44-yard line.
So 6 minutes left to go first half, 10-0 Danvers. McCarthy touchdown of 9 yards and elite 27-yard field goal. Elite. As opposed to elite. Clock back underway now. It's first down and 15 for Peabody. They take two steps forward and make a step backwards. Shotgun once again. Matty J fires to the right. It is complete at the 50 and down to the 45-yard line. And gets Russell. No.
Looks like number 12, Jack
yep.
Woods on the catch.
Yep.
Good job by Chandra Savage again. Just taking his time, finding the open receiver. It looks like Danvers was a little willing to give up the underneath route there, given the field position. But Peabody gets a big chunk of change back off that penalty. So that's about a short second and four, it looks like.
It's 11-yard gain. So that's exactly what it is. Second and four. Trips to the left. Jandrzejewicz keeps it. Hit at the line of scrimmage. Takes tacklers with him forward. Still moving. The pile down to the 40-yard line. I think he's got the first down. Oh, what a run. Yep, he got it. I was down on the field trying to...
One thing to note, it looks like Danvers defensive tackle, senior captain, number 55, Thomas Walfield, his helmet came off, so he'll have to take a play off. It'll be interesting to see if Mark Bancourt, picks up on that and tries to go smash mouth offense right up the middle here.
First down for Peabody, and they are getting the yards back. It's at the 39. Ball on the far hash mark, Jandrzejewicz. It's a handoff on a counter play to Paulino. From left to right, gets it down to the 35. Angel Paulino gets about six.
Paulino on the carry.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's ball was at the 39, so it's to the it's only a 4 yard gain. My bad. But Tanners have something going now. This will be the 10th play of this drive for Peabody, with the clock moving at 4.5 minutes and Peabody trailing 10-0. And these games last several years have been just like this, back and forth, up and down, right to the end. On the far hash mark, that means that the near side is the wide side of the field, three receivers on this side. One out to the far side, straight back to pass. Matty J is blocked back at the 49-yard line. On the blitz.
Back all the way back to the 48-yard line.
Whoa.
Amani Vargas in there to help clean it up.
Vargas just busted through. And Jandrzejewicz had no chance.
Really the first time we've seen Danvers dial up some pressure here. It looks like linebackers were able to fill some gaps, get to the middle, and get to Jandrzejewicz. But great timing for them.
The Tanners from the Falcons 46-yard line.
Well, Lenny Vargas leading the charge. So it's back to the 46 of Danvers. That makes it 3rd and 15 again for Peabody. Falcons with four men up on the line of scrimmage. They've got the three receivers near side covered. One receiver far side is covered. Linebacker again blitzing. Pass out in the flat. And I think it's incomplete. And the receiver was stuck just as he almost got the ball. The intended receiver was...
Pass attempt to number 21.
Who is the Riddick? Oh, it is? Oh, yeah, it was incomplete.
Good job by number 5 again, McCarthy, to close in on that ball. Just put it in the receiver's mind. Sometimes you can hear those footsteps coming up. Makes it a little bit difficult to keep your concentration, and now he's back deep to receive the punt.
Well, last time, Coach Betancourt, just about the same field position, decided to go for it on fourth down. This time he's going to punt the ball, and it's going to be punted away from McCarthy. Hits at the 20. He goes, lays it, and Peabody is going to down it inside the 2 yard line. McCarthy let it go, and it rolled right by him, and it was covered by the Tanners. Looks like it's down to Danvers 2 with 3 minutes left to go in the half.
Very well done there by Peabody special team. Pushing Danvers way back into their own end. Let's see if Coach Bancourt wants to dial up some pressure. Try to get Danvers in the backfield here.
You know, they had the ball for almost 5 minutes and 10 plays and amassed only 31 yards.
Yeah, it's a little demoralizing to have drives like that just negated by penalties and whatnot. Puts you behind schedule. So that's something they'll definitely have to address moving forward if they want to come back into this ballgame.
And obviously ball security is important right now for Danvers inside the shadow of their own goalposts. At the two-yard line, it's the eye. McCarthy gets it out. He's gone. Look out. 20, 30. Oh, and he's just tripped up short of the 30-yard line. I didn't see him break through the line of scrimmage, and then all of a sudden he was almost gone. But he gets the first down out to the 25-yard line.
Dylan Peluso, the defensive back there, was able to get him by the shoestring. Otherwise, he would have been seeing 98 yards to pay dirt there. And it's a nice luxury for Coach Nolan, even backed up in his own end, to have a player of McCarthy's caliber.
Wow. 24-yard gain, first play. And it's out to the 26 on the far hash mark. 2:40 left to go. McCarthy gets the handoff again. This time he's tripped up trying to cut to the right. After a one-yard gain.
Long for the Falcons from their own 26-yard line.
Second down and 9. Terrific crowd on a summer-like night here at Dr. Deering Stadium. There's a little bit of mist in the air right now, a little bit of fog. I know it's foggy right along the coast. I wonder if it's affecting any of the other games. Over on Channel B, Bill Newell, Tim Kearns ramping up as it's Somerville at Lynn English right now. And we got two games on MSO tomorrow. Rolling to his left is the quarterback. He Tracy throws it to the 39-yard line, and it's caught, and the penalty afterwards.
Yeah, we might see a helmet-to-helmet penalty there.
And we've got some more laundry
as the tight end for Danvers went down on the catch.
I think it was Kyle Little with a reception. And he gets the first down out to the, well, I'll call it the 39. Waiting for the official to tell us exactly what the penalty is. It'll be stepped off big time against Peabody.
Yeah, it's going to be another 15-yard personal foul. So Peabody, again, having trouble in the penalty department. And that's a call that I feel like we're going to see a lot more of in the high school game. You see it in the at the pro level. That helmet-to-helmet's really a play that they're looking to take out of the game for player safety as concussions become...
Long time ago, it used to be called spearing, and
yep.
it was you get ejected for that. Ball is at the 44 of Peabody now, so it's first and 10 Falcons with a minute 38 left to go in the half. Tracy wants to throw over the middle, it's caught, and it is a touchdown.
Touchdown, Falcons! 46-yard touchdown pass.
McCarthy just flushed it up the middle. Tracy hit him in stride. Great and the Falcons get six more, 16-0. McCarthy does it all. That's a 44-yarder this time.
That was a great time to take a shot there following the penalty. Peabody kind of feeling the pressure there. Tracy did a great job delivering the ball just over the Peabody secondary's hands and right into McCarthy.
I didn't think he had a chance to catch it, but boy, he hit the overdrive as the ball was in the air. Accelerated, pulled it in over his shoulder. Five plays, 98 yards. Remember, they started this drive at their two-yard line. Leet, penalty flags. He hits it.
And the kick is up and the kick
long,
is
high,
in.
And true.
Laundry on the field. Let's see what the penalty is.
It's on Peabody. They refused the penalty. And so now the Falcons lead 17-0.
It's your hometown Falcons 17. They're visiting Tanner's.
So you're talking five plays, 98 yards. And Falcons now have 207 yards of total offense to 51 for Peabody. And McCarthy, I think that's his fourth touchdown of the year already. Second of the night. This one's in the air.
Minute and 30 left in the half. I know Peabody is going to be wanting to get some points on the board. They also got to be smart. You're only down 17. There's a whole other half of football to play. It's crucial that they take care of the football, can't turn it over, and give Danvers another chance here late.
Well, what's interesting, I think, in this one is the fact that Danvers, you know, they scored on a long possession. In fact, they've had a couple of really long possessions, one for 12 plays or 13 plays, the other one for 7 plays. But this one, boy, quick, you know, lightning. But the penalty hurt Peabody as well.
Yep.
That was huge.
Very impressed by Coach Nolan's offense and how multifaceted it is. and the different ways they can put points on the board.
Kickoff to the 26 by the Falcons. It's going to be returned out to the 37. And that was Kyle Maglione on the return for Peabody, and he took a stiff hit at the 44. Oof.
Mercy. Yeah, this is, as you said earlier, it's been a physical game between these two. As expected, for sure.
Now Peabody needs to get some points on the board, or at least protect the ball. Down 17-0. They've got to get at least run off the clock minimally. Ball is at the 44. Their own 44 on the near hash mark. And somebody takes the timeout.
Falcons call timeout. 1:23 left to go in the half.
It is Danvers. Now Danvers has used up three, I think, and Peabody just the one.
I'd look for Peabody to see if they can get a couple quick hitters here, maybe pick up a some nice chunky yards. But if not, be smart. You don't want to turn the ball over and give Danvers another opportunity here before the half runs out.
Now, when did you graduate from Gloucester High School?
2011.
So you guys had some. You had quite a run with Coach Ingram.
Yes, we did. I was very fortunate to be a part of some great teams, from freshman all the way up through my senior year. You know, you grow up in Gloucester, you go and watch the games, and you know, you dream of putting on the uniform one day. And being a part of that freshman class when I had seniors like Andrew Fulford and Anthony Enderly, those guys kind of paved the way for us. And under Coach Ingram, we were just really well coached and fortunate enough to be able to play for some state titles.
Enderly ran into the dark one day at the old at Peabody's football field in a game over there. He just the lights were so bad you couldn't see in the corners of the end zone, and he just disappeared one day. The guy was a freight train.
Sure was.
All right, first down for Peabody. It's a run play for the quarterback, and he's going to get pretty good yardage, 7 or 8 across the 50 to the Danvers 48. Matty J right back to the line of scrimmage after the 8-yard gain, 2nd and 2. This time he wants to throw, shoots it to the left, complete, first down. Well, are they going to call a timeout? I don't know. The pass was complete.
Yeah, they're going to go ahead and use their timeout here.
To Brandon Knipp at the 44. He was on his knees when he caught it. Well, it is a first down, and they do take the timeout. Tanner's second, as I have it. Let me just see. Yeah, I believe that's their second. Danvers has used 3. So the ball is at the 44. And they needed 2. They got 4. Did you guys use a prevent defense at times? Did you ever use that?
Absolutely, yeah.
What do they call it? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, prevent defense. Typically, you look over, and coaching would just be giving you the wave back to get back. Just basically keep everything in front of you. You know, don't let anything get over your head. Ball's in the air. Try to bat it down.
You guys had some height on your team.
Yeah, we did, especially in our secondary. Yeah. Yep.
58 seconds remaining. First half, 1st and 10, Peabody. They are at the Danvers 44. Empty backfield. Looking left, Matty J finds a lane. And he's going to run out of bounds after a very short game. Nobody open in his decision time frame, and he did get a couple of yards and get out of bounds.
Smart move there to get out of bounds as quickly as possible. He could have had some more yards moving forward, but that really wouldn't have suited them any well with the clock situation. So good savvy there by the senior quarterback.
2-yard gain. Not used to these lack of lights in here, too. This is driving me a little nuts here. 2nd down and 8. It's almost academic with 51 seconds left in the half. Tracy has 3 receivers off to the right, and he's looking to the right. Now he's looking to the left, and he's going to throw it long, high, and deep into the end zone. Incomplete. Intended for Brandon Kniff, but it was well overthrown. Looks like he gets right to the line of scrimmage when he throws those.
He's right there.
Stepped out of the pocket nicely.
No yards going to waste.
Yep. Now it's 3rd down and 8. 44 seconds left to go in the first half. 17-0, Danvers. The Peabody home fans are right in front of us. You hear them get excited when something good happens for the Tanners. and the Danvers Falcons. Everybody's on one side in high school now. They don't have bleachers on both sides anymore. Danvers band amassed on the far sideline behind the Falcons bench. We've got our halftime show coming up here as we'll be checking in with Phil Stacey and Matt Williams and Bill Newell on our Salem News Football Weekly. Third and eight. Matty J looks left. He's going to throw it toward the end zone again. It's a wobbly pass, man. Opening complete. Closing speed as it was covered by McCarthy. He hit the intended receiver just as the ball arrived. And Jared Ridley is saying, hello. I interfered with. But
it looked to me like the defensive back got there a little early as well. I can see the reason for argument. It was a bang-bang play, however.
It was close, yeah, no question. Could have gone either way. Unfortunately, our replay video isn't working today, so we can't tell. All right. Final score elsewhere, just the one final that we have, was Lynn Classical 41 and Malden 8 earlier tonight. Bill Newell, Tim Kearns over at Manning Field right now, bringing you the Somerville at Lynn English game on Channel B. Fourth down for Peabody, 36 seconds left. They're at the 42. Matty J runs with it. He's got some yardage to the 30, to the 20, and he's dropped inside the 20 and about the 17. So good decision making that time, once again, by Jandra Sevitt, and he gets a big first down with plenty of time left on the clock. It is at the 18, and looks like Falcons take another timeout. 24-yard gain, first and 10. For the Falcons, that will be timeout number 4. You get 5.5 for each team.
Peabody in a spot. Well, they'll have a chance for a couple plays here. I'd look for them to run something, try to get to the boundaries, a little quick hitter where they can get the ball out of Jander Savage's hands, get out of bounds, and set him up for a more manageable shot at the end zone.
Well, he's a shifty runner, too. He doesn't look like he's fast or anything, but he gets big chunks.
Yeah, and he's definitely not afraid to take a hit, as we've seen on a few occasions.
He's a big kid. We don't have the stats. They don't give us to him anymore, but I was down on the field. He looks like he's about 6'2 or 6'3. First and 10, Peabody. Now they're inside the 20, and they're about this. I can't tell if it's a 17 or the 18. Call it the 17, I guess. Once again, going to the end zone. It's up for grabs. Knocked away. Oh, my. Wow. That ball was coming down for Dylan Peluso, and just at the very last second, it was knocked away by
Di Tommaso.
Wow.
19 seconds left to go in the half. Second down for the Tanners.
So Jandra Sevich going for the end zone again. He's thrown to the end zone three times on this drive.
Balls on the third, on the 5-yard line. Second down.
17-0. 19 seconds now left in the half. Second down and 10 at the 17 of Danvers. Ball in the middle of the field. Andrew Sevich looks to the left, throws it to the end zone once again. It's up for grabs, knocked away. McCarthy and Russell, it looks like.
Five versus five there, passes incomplete.
Fighting for the ball. It was Kniff, Brandon Kniff. Intended receiver, McCarthy. It was just a jump ball.
The 18-yard line for the
McCarthy got higher.
With 13 seconds left to go in half.
This is a spot where Gloucester would run the ball. They do a drop play or something like this, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Or the jet or whatever.
The fullback trap.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. The fullback trap. Yeah. Exactly. From 17 yards away.
Yeah, no doubt in distance was too much.
Back in your day.
The trap there.
Got
sure.
That right. All right. Once again. In the shotgun, Jandra Sevitz.
Oh.
Everybody leaves. See you later. Bring it back. Ball didn't even get snapped. But at this point, I don't know if 5 yards makes a difference at all. Jandra Sevitz.
Yeah, we're going to see a ball to the end zone regardless. But nonetheless, another flag in Peabody. That's kind of been Achilles' heel for them tonight.
They don't throw anything underneath. Everything just goes long. You just wonder if it's like an umbrella, everybody goes back and anything will open up underneath. So it comes out to the 22, but again, 23. 12 seconds left to go in the half. Peabody looking to get into the end zone. want to say they're desperate, but they're they got a purpose. They're thrown underneath, incomplete.
Pass incomplete, brings up fourth down with 8 seconds.
That was intended for Dylan Peluso, out on the far flat at the 20. Now do we have a field goal?
We might have a field goal, yeah.
Yeah. Well, before the game, Austin Leggett has a leg. He was booting them from 30 yards out, which would be a 40-yarder, and that's what this one will be. So Leggett's going to try it from the 30. Ball is midway between the hash, right in the middle of the field.
30-yard line for Leggett.
Your holder is Alex Danisco. It's long, and it is true.
There you have field goal. Good for the kicker, number one.
40-yard field goal by Leggett. And the Tanners are on the board with 2 seconds left. Woo, mercy. How about that? So the Tanner fans are fired up on this side. Let's see, they totaled
733 yards. Be a nice morale boost there for Peabody. Mm-hmm. See some points get on the board. That was a big-time kick. You don't see too many 40-yarders, at least at high school football in New England, at least. So.
Correct.
Blue ticket. On the 50-50
so Peabody is on the board with Leggett.
If you have this ticket, please come up to the press box and bring your winning
40
ticket.
40 yards. A couple of field goals in this game. Remember seeing Steve Peach kick a 48-yarder one time for Saugus High School against Beverly. It's the longest I've seen in high school. Well, Tanners are on the board. Scoreboard says 91-17, but obviously that's not right.
I would certainly try to kick it away from McCarthy here. Don't take any chances.
Yep. And it's going to bounce to the 20-yard line to McCarthy. He's going to sweep to the right. There he goes at the 40. He's at the 50. Cuts it inside. All the way down to the 40-yard line of Peabody, but the half is over.
So at the end of the first half, it's your hometown.
The kid is electric.
He certainly is.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we were pretty close there to see it in the second kickoff return of the season.
All right, the score is 17-3 in favor of the Danvers Falcons here at the half. We'll come back with our halftime program. We'll recap this later on, but I can tell you very quickly, the Tanners with the field goal in the first quarter of 27 yards by Leet. McCarthy with a couple touchdowns in the second, making it 17-0 before Leggett gets a 40-yarder for Peabody here in the second, in the closing seconds of the second quarter, making it 17-3. So we'll be back from Dr. Deering Stadium with the score, Danvers 17 and Peabody 3.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Stable businesses form the backbone of strong communities, and nothing provides greater advantage than having strong business banking professionals behind you. Since 1846, businesses on Cape Ann have leveraged the strength and stability of Cape Ann Savings Bank to grow and thrive. Let's talk about your business. Call 978-283-0246 or visit capeannsavings.bank to learn how we can help you grow your business your way. Cape Ann Savings Bank, built on stability.
Member FDIC, member DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by the sports department of the Salem News, Phil Stacey and Matt Williams. And let's begin with looking at some of our games ahead this week, and probably one of the feature games on the North Shore finds Peabody 1-0 at Danvers 1-0. And Phil, I'll begin with you. I know you saw Danvers as I saw Danvers last week. Hang on and beat Masco.
Yeah, they look good. I thought that coming in, that was probably a slight upset for Danvers to win, but they dominated for the better part of three quarters. They looked very good, obviously, right off the opening kickoff. They returned that. Hell of a way to start your season for Matt McCarthy and Danvers as a whole. But I thought they won the battle up front against a Masconomet team that's pretty good. They got out to a 22-0 halftime lead. They put another score on the board by causing a turnover early in the third quarter, and then just kind of, I don't say cruised to victory, but held on to win there. It's funny because, you know, we make predictions in the paper for each week, and we early in the week, Matt and I try to put our heads together and determine who the underdog would be for each game. And this was one that we really kind of went back and forth on, this Peabody and Danvers game, because I think you could make a case both ways. Ultimately, we decided Danvers would be a slight favorite, I should say, at home, and they have a little bit of recent success against Peabody, but it's a pretty close game. And as Willie could tell you, Peabody looked awfully good in their own opener last week in beating Somerville.
I mean, they looked okay. You know, the running game was really good. The pass game looks like it needs some work. They're going to need that against Danvers, I think. I think the thing with Danvers and Peabody is that, you know, since Ryan Nolan has arrived in Danvers on staff period, not just as head coach, but on staff period, they've played close games every year. Every year it's come down to, you know, one big play one way or the other, whether it's Danvers blocking a field goal and taking it back for a touchdown, whether it's Doug Santos breaking an 80-yard run at the end of the game to win it, whether it's, you know, Matt Andreas holding the ball, going for it on fourth down and you know, eating up, I think, 18 minutes of the 22-minute second half 2 years ago. And, of course, last year, a scoreless game up until about 3 minutes left, and Matt McCarthy breaks a 40-yard something run. So this has been historically, with these two coaching staffs, a close matchup. I know Peabody's new offensive guru, Gino Federa, worked with Ryan when they were in Linfield 100 years ago. They're friends. They know each other's tendencies, coaching styles. So I think this is a matchup where everybody is going to be in the right place. You're not going to trick Danvers. You're not going to get them going the wrong way and then, you know, put it back the other way like the Patriots do or whatever. So you're going to have to win the physical battle. You're not going to win them by fooling them. And that's the challenge for Peabody. You know, they're big up front. They ran the ball really well. They're big holes against Somerville, but Danvers is a whole different animal up front. Masco is usually one of the biggest, strongest teams around. You know, you think about the job that Steve Bunker does with the weight training program up there. So without having seen him with my own two eyes, I have to imagine that Masco was a big, strong team, just like Peabody, and Danvers was able to find a way to neutralize those guys. So it makes me wonder if they could do the same thing this week.
I want to, Phil, I want you to react to that, yeah. But I also want to put it in the context of something I heard. I just talked to Jim Pugh today, and the Hamilton Wenham coach, and he was saying, he made a kind of offhand remark about four plays sometimes deciding a game, four plays in a game deciding a game. And I look at that Masco-Danvers game last week, and I think, yeah, maybe four plays decided that game. And I hadn't really looked at it quite that way, I don't think, before, but it makes a lot of sense. I think especially in week one, four plays can make a big difference in a game. But I know you wanted to react to what Matt was saying.
I could, yeah, comment on both. To Willie's point, he's right. I mean, Danvers, I don't think they're huge. They have some big bodies, but it's not a big, hulking, monstrous line across the line. It was just guys getting down on their blocks, holding their spots, getting low, getting leverage. And as the game wore on, it wasn't a particularly humid night, but they were able to wear down Masco. I thought, especially in that second and third quarter, where they were just chipping away, moving them off the ball, getting 4, 5, 6 yards of crack every time they ran the ball, and then break, say, a 14-yarder every so often. Tommy Walfield, looked really good. Alex Stone had a real nice game. He's a big boy, about 6'3", 260. Andrew Cronus is a sophomore, but who saw time as a freshman. He played really well. So those guys are doing nice things. Lance Ledesma, Ron Remetigue, these guys are really doing a nice job up front for Danvers. They're going to need to continue that against the Peabody team, which is obviously going to be deeper than they are, and as they showed in their week one win, has a lot of skill. To your point, Bill, I've heard that before from coaches will say that it does come down to 4 or 5 plays, and it's true. When you think about the turnovers in that game last week, they made a world of difference. Case in point, Danvers is up 2 touchdowns. They drive downfield. Masconomet holds serve at their own 2-yard line. Could have been a potentially big swing if they're able to move the ball all the way downfield, get some points out of that. Instead, second down, lateral pass goes backwards behind the line of scrimmage. A Danvers player alertly jumps on that. The cornerback jumps on it, and Matt McCarthy scores on a 7-yard run on the next play. So all of a sudden it's 22-0 when it could have been, let's say, 14-7. You know, again, that's a big swing right there, and that makes a difference. Now, for me, I've always thought, as someone who, you know, chronicles these games, that you want to see a big improvement from week one to week two, whether you win or lose. And I think it's something that Ryan Nolan said the other day, is that we're happy to win, but there's an awful lot we need to fix and work on. So no matter what side of the ledger you're on week one, there's a lot of work that takes place between weeks one and two. How that pans out, you see on Friday night, how much of a change that they've made.
We're going to. I want to jump to the Saturday game, which finds Gloucester at Beverly. Now, Beverly beat, Lynn English beat Beverly last weekend. Gloucester a winner over Revere on Friday night. Both Lynn teams won big, I guess, over the weekend, if you will. English and Classical winning down at Somerville on Friday night. But I guess maybe you, Phil, put this into some kind of context here. We got Gloucester going to Beverly, which is a great rivalry matchup in a way, for sure, in a 1 o'clock game on Saturday here on MSO News Sports, and obviously you guys will be covering it as well. What does Beverly take out of last week's game heading into this one?
I think a couple of things, Bill. For one, I mean, certainly when they're on their game, they can really play with anyone in the conference. I mean, they led Lynn English at halftime, 21-19. They have playmakers this year. If you were at the game on Saturday, you saw Duncan Moreland, the junior receiver. He just went up and hauled down passes that most high school kids don't have a right to grab. I mean, really great control of his body, timing his leaps, getting his hand on the ball, bringing it down in traffic. Really nice job. He had a pair of touchdowns along with 133 yards receiving on those six catches. Clayton McAlpine, he's going to get going. He was bottled up a little bit by English last week when Beverly fell behind. They had to go to the run game, go to the passing game. But he's a big, strong 6'1", 215, 20-pound kid who's going to get moving behind that offensive line. Ryan Barrett, a quarterback, is going to be a good play. He threw for a 183 last week. PZ Parsons on the outside is going to be someone that can help them. Paul Malumba is another kid. They'll give him a few carries out of the backfield. He'll do well. Their problem, and I think this is what hurt them at times last year, was failure off the field defensively and giving up big plays. You know, they gave up a 78-yard pass play the other day. They gave up another long touchdown run. They gave up a, what was it, another 40-something yard scoring play. So that was three plays right there, 40 or more, and two were 70-plus. Lynn English also dominated time of possession in the second half. Beverly really never had a chance to get the ball, and when they did, it was three and out. So I think what they can take from it is, you know, Gloucester's coming in. Gloucester's talented. Slow start against Revere, then they got really flowing, and they won going away. I think it was 20, I might think of the Salem score, 25-6, but they won somewhere in that neighborhood there. I know they got a really powerful back out of that that wing tee that they run in Mark Smith. Very dangerous, not only fast, but strong, can bowl guys over, can get around them. Beverly cannot give up the big play this week. Now, Gloucester hasn't won at Hurd since 2009, so Beverly has done well at home against the Fishermen. Great rivalry, as you said, goes back to 1903. I think this is the 110th time they've played. And the last 10, 12 years, they've been just about even against each other. I think myself, I mean, maybe it's crazy, but having watched Beverly last week, went to a lot of those games last year when they went 3-8, they need this win. It's almost like a must win for them to get that winning feeling, to get back to 500, to know we can beat a good team, a team that won their tier in the Northeastern Conference last year is probably going to win it again this year. They need to know that feeling of winning, and by stopping the big play and getting off the field defensively, they'll certainly help themselves towards reaching that goal.
I don't know if we have any listeners in Lynn. Classical might have a different opinion on who's going to win that tier after laying 52 points on mighty Medford. But but the thing about Beverly that really jumps out to me, and Nick Kukru has said this to me on at least two dozen occasions over the last 10 years since I've known him, Gloucester can never stop the pass. for some reason, it's just in their DNA up there, right alongside how to sail boats and how to push fish out of the water. They just have a hard time with it. So I'm wondering if Moreland and Barra are going to have a really nice time against a Gloucester secondary that over the years, you know, has given up a lot of points in the air. Now, they've won a lot of games, beaten Swampscott in high-scoring games back when Swampscott used to pass the ball. Maybe not so much in recent years against teams like Marblehead, but, you know, that's really what jumps off the page to me. I think that Beverly's struggles in the run game are going to be a problem. Getting off the field, Gloucester, that wing T, we know can chew up clock, can eat the game away. They're going to have to get off the field on third down, but, you know, based on nothing besides history that has nothing to do with the players that are on the field this year, I would say look for some big games out of Beverly in the pass game.
And I think a lot of that, too, Willie, will determine what kind of alignment they're in for the majority of the game. I think they like to play a 3-5 if they can. They may be better off going 4-4 depending on their personnel on Saturday and attempt to stop that rush. What they really need to do is prevent Gloucester from getting to the outside. Maybe that means pinching up the cornerbacks and having them cheat a little bit. You know, you're giving up a little bit in the passing game there, but in an attempt to stop that run game, that might be their best course of action.
All right, we've got a lot more to talk about. We'll jump into the Cape Ann League and beyond, some of the privates just ahead here. So stay with us here. Phil Stacey, Matt Williams, I'm Bill Newell here on MSONewsSports.com.
What's better than a Patriots win? Our penalty-free 9-month CD. Score big with a 2.25% annual percentage yield. Withdraw the total balance and interest earned at any time without any penalty. Visit institutionforsavings.com for a list of locations or call 978-462-3106. APY effective 8/20/18. Term deposit rate and APY fixed for term duration. $250,000 minimum balance to open and obtain APY. May close out at any time during term with no penalty except for the first 6 days following opening. No partial withdrawals. Product not available for individual retirement accounts. Rate subject to change. Deposit insured in full. Account holder must be present to open. Member FDIC, DIF.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Welcome back. I'm Bill Newell with MSO News Sports, and we have Phil Stacey from the Salem News and Matt Williams also from the Salem News. I guess one of the wildest games last week was the Ipswich game. Essex Tech, right? Yeah.
Essex
North Shore. My apologies. I'm struggling with that this year. Change is difficult.
The
Hawks from Middleton.
Hawthorne.
Hawthorne, right. Hawthorne. Part of Danvers, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got it. All right. But a wild game, and Ipswich comes out on top.
It was. 80 points. I'm still, as we sit here today, I'm still trying to research if that's the highest scoring opening game in our area's football history. I haven't found anything yet, but it does take me a while to comb back on that stuff. But nevertheless, a good showing for Essex North Shore. You know, team coming off a 2-9 season. They want to establish some good feeling there. With Coach D.
All right, we got to cut in from the Salem News sports show here and get ready for the second half as the Danvers Falcons and Peabody Tanners have returned to the field. And Danvers will be kicking off. Why did they shut the lights off? Is that okay?
Is it?
Your place.
No, it's your place. No, we'll
be fine. Okay. Okay, we're fighting for lights here.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you. We're fighting for the lights. Sean Daugherty lights them off, and it's hard here because of the reflections on the windows. The windows cover half the screen, so when the lights are on, it does make it difficult for guys to see what they're doing up here. But anyway, we will be starting the second half with Peabody kicking off from right to left. And the Danvers Falcons leading 17-3, they have outgained the Peabody Tanners 207 yards to 84.
and 80 of those 84 yards have come off the arm of the quarterback, Kendra Sevitz. But right now, Danvers getting ready to get the ball back after the 40-yard field goal put Peabody on the board with 2 seconds left in the first half. McCarthy, the leading offense for the Danvers Falcons. Danvers takes a timeout. How do you like that?
I've
never seen that before.
Never seen that.
No, I haven't seen that before. Wow. So the second half has not begun. Peabody is lined up to kick off, and Danvers takes a timeout. So what would cause that, Adams? I was going to call you coach, but, you know, wrong guys on the field or something or other? That's weird.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. It definitely wasn't any type of notice of a formation or anything like that. Yeah, it might have been not enough guys in the huddle or whatnot.
Expecting an onside kick, maybe? I don't know. Well, anyway, we are ready to go, finally, to start the second half. And Leggett kicks off. It's a short kick. It's a high short kick. Fair caught at the 39-yard line.
That might draw a flag.
Well, it could. It was fair caught on a smart play by Canova. Richard Canova. He was hit inadvertently, to be honest, but he still was hit. So the Falcons will start at their own 37-yard line. So it was a high pop-up type kick. I wouldn't call it an onside kick, but might have been a gimmick. I don't know.
Interesting call here with the way Danvers has been able to move the ball against this Tanner's defense, giving them short field position here. So,
well,
but let's might have given this defense a little pep talk, give them a little boost. We'll see how they come out here in the second half.
Danvers starts at the 37. They've got the full house eye formation, stacked eye. Tailback McCarthy off of left tackle gets nearly 5 yards to the 39. Well, they're going to put it right at the 40, so it's a 5-yard gain. I'm sorry, let's see, a 3-yard gain. So it's plus 3. McCarthy on the ground, 9 carries, 58 yards in the first half, 2 receptions for 63 yards, and a touchdown. He scored 1 touchdown running and 1 touchdown in the air, similar to last week. 17-3, Danvers, 2nd down and 3. Check it, 2nd and 7. Midway between the hash marks, full house eye, stack dive, McCarthy, the tailback, just across the 40 to the 42.
First time we've seen that stacked eye here, so we're still seeing different wrinkles out of Coach Nolan's offense. Really impressed by the balance that they've had with the run in the pass game. Doing a good job keeping Peabody off their toes. Seems like they're not really sure what to expect here.
Well, now it's 3rd down for Danvers, 3rd and 5. They're on the far hash mark going from left to right. Once again, the stack eye with McCarthy, the tailback. This time he gets a pitch on the sweep to the right, and he hurdles forward for the first down and bounces at the 50-yard line. Oh, mercy. But it's a first down. McCarthy with all the ball carrying so far to start the half, another 8 yards.
Great job by McCarthy on that toss. A lot of times back will get that toss sweep and they'll try to get to the sideline when it's not there. He stuck his foot in the ground, made a hard 90-degree plant, got upfield, got enough yards to move the chain.
That's the way to do the replay. That's the way to do the replay. Very nice. Thank you. First and 10 for Danvers. Once again, Peabody on defense backing up. And again, it's just a stack guy. With Canova, the up back, Cranji, the middle back, and McCarthy, the tailback. This time he breaks McCarthy loose and gets back to the line of scrimmage. Otherwise, he's going to be dropped for a loss. Good job just to get back to the line that time for McCarthy. The ball is at the 50, and again, in that I formation. The up back is Canova. What do you call the middle back? The up back is the full back? Middle back is Canova, Strangey, and then the tailback is McCarthy. I don't know what you call the guy.
Yeah,
I don't know
if we've ever termed the middle back, but...
Yeah, okay.
Let's see if Danvers sets up some type of play-action pass here following a bevy of McCarthy runs.
All right, now we got two guys in the eye with Lombardi in motion. Again, it's McCarthy squeezing forward and well short of the first down at the Peabody 47, so it'll be 3rd and 7. McCarthy fifth carry in a row for Danvers on this drive.
Good job by Peabody defense the last few plays. Kind of put their foot in the ground here. Claim their stake on the line of scrimmage. Backers doing a good job coming up, filling the holes.
Coach Nelson's not afraid to wear his backs out too, Adam. Andreas had one time like 15 carries in a row a year or two ago. All right, back to this sack guy. Third and seven. Now what? And it is a timeout.
And the Falcons come on that with 7:46 left to go in the third quarter.
And Coach Nelson is not afraid to use his timeouts either. So it is third and seven for Danvers, and they are inside the Peabody side of the field at the 47. McCarthy with five carries, five consecutive carries here to open up this second half. Pitch blackout, beautiful evening. Again, we don't have down and distance on the scoreboard, but we do have 7:46 left to go in this third quarter. I'm Rick Moore, along with Adam Philpott. You guys in Gloucester know of Adam Philpott. Philpott, and you played college basketball now.
Yeah.
What would be your position? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what is that?
3 or 4, okay. You know, either or.
And what was your best fun? What was your best rivalry?
Definitely Colby College and Bowman College.
Colby. All right, rolling to his right is... Oh, my, what is that? That was just a rollout for the quarterback on the keeper.
Tracy, yeah, it looks like they had a couple of receivers downfield. That was a good job by Peabody recognizing the play action there. For the most part, we've seen Tracy drop back. He's been rolling to his right. They were able to pick up on that and try to clog up those passing lanes and force a punt.
Yeah, just a 1 yard. It was a 1 yard loss, as a matter of fact. So I think this is the first punt of the evening for Danvers. Pretty sure it is. And the punt will be launched from about the Falcons 40. High snap and a pretty good kick. It's a little wobbly, but it's going to come to the 17 yard line to the receiver there. And hauling it in. I think it was
great tackle by Ezra Lombardi there on the
Lombardi
receiver.
On the tackle, but I think it was number 4. I don't have that. Was it 4?
No, John Kelter on the tackle.
Cam Cousy would be number 4. Not much of a gain, if any, after the catch, and the ball is going to be placed at the 17 yard line of Peabody. So they were able to stop Danvers on the opening drive with 7:30 left to go. Third quarter. Tanners now start from their own 17. Peabody with a total of 15 yards on that particular possession.
It's going to be imperative that Peabody plays penalty-free football here, mm-hmm. even especially backed up on their own end. Coach Bancourt's really going to look to run the ball here on first and second down.
So Andrusevich is the quarterback. Everybody moves. So what did you just say?
Common theme here for Tanner so far.
Oh, this is against Danvers. Oh, wow. Big jump. How about that? So we're going to step off 5 the other way. That'll push it out to the Peabody 22-yard line. And they got some positive yardage to start this drive, and they need to keep it going. Mike Locke is the center. Abe Kaba, Chris Glass, the guards. Aiden Kelleher and Phil Marcocci are the tackles. Handoff on the run play, sweeping to the right for the Tanners, and it's Jared Ridley. Gets a couple as it's strung out nicely by the Danvers defense.
Good job there by the Danvers cornerback number 4, Ezra Lombardi, holding his ground, not giving up that outside edge. Again, sweep plays and plays to the boundaries is important for the defensive backs to funnel everything back into the middle of your defense, let the linebackers come in and clean it up.
We call that lateral pursuit from here. You do it better. I don't know. That makes more sense. All right, handoff on the run play once again. Nothing. Ridley had gotten it to the 17 this time.
Jack Strangey on the carry.
Strangey gets not much at all. Wait, it can't be Strangey. That's the other side. that's the wrong side. No gain at the 17 at the 22. It's a 1 yard loss. So I think it was Paulino in the backfield. They're going to send Kniff wide to the left side.
Jander Savage has been a threat with his legs here.
Yep.
Important for Danvers to get a spy on him.
So he looks to throw, and he darts loose, but he goes down at the 17. Nowhere to run.
And number 51, Andrew Cronus in on the tackle. Big play by the sophomore.
5 yard loss. And they actually put it at the 19, not the 17. So it's only a 3 yard loss, but it is a loss. And that's going to force Peabody to punt from deep in their own real estate. Fourth down and 7 for the first down. The punter is Declan Russell. McCarthy back inside the 45 of Peabody. And Russell kicks it away from McCarthy nicely, and it's going to go all the way down to the Peabody 46-yard line. So nice punt, smart keeping it away from McCarthy. But the Tanners don't get any offense that time. They get a plus two. That's it. 86 yards total offense for Peabody at this point. And now Danvers will start this drive out at the 46. 5.5 left to go in the third. 17-3, all the scoring in the first quarter, or the first half, rather. McCarthy, a couple of touchdowns for Danvers. 27-yard field goal by the Falcons as well. Leggett, a 40-yard field goal for the Peabody Tanners. From the Danvers 45, two men in the eye behind quarterback. Wants to throw it long. He's got a man open, and it is caught at the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and it's a touchdown. And that is a long touchdown play to Ezra Lombardi, who was wide open, and Tracy put it right on the money. First play for scrimmage, and it's 23-3.
Danvers has had tremendous success with that play-action pass. Getting those linebacks and secondary to flow towards the run game. Lombardi was able to sneak past the defense on the post route there and find 7.
So we open up the third quarter with a quick Danvers strike of 52 yards from Tracy.
I've been impressed with Tracy's accuracy so far. He's put it in a spot where only the receiver can get it and allowing them to do something with it after the catch.
Right down the middle. And this kick is blocked. It could be returned, and it isn't. It stopped at about the 12-yard line after the block. But it's a six-pointer for the Falcons. They now lead 23-0 with 5:15 left to go in the third quarter. And I got to tell you, I'm a little bit shocked at the margin right now. That was a one-play, 52-yard touchdown march, if you will. 277 yards of total offense for the Danvers Falcons to 86 for Peabody. So Coach Betancourt's got to dig deep now for the Tanners.
Yeah, it's going to be important for them to get some positive yard plays here, try to build some momentum, establish a run game, and try to see if something opens up here for them.
And as you pointed out, Adam, it's the mistakes that have hurt Peabody big time. But also the defense of Danvers has just really kind of swarmed everything. I mean, they've covered the receivers. They've allowed some yardage in the air, but not a lot. As we said, first half stats, Jander Sevitz, 5-for-9 for 80 yards of his team's total 84. So they got 4 yards rushing. And remember, this is Peabody.
Right.
Think about that. Long wait for Danvers to come back onto the field, and they are leading 23-3. I think I said 0, but it's 23-3.
Good to see him get off under his own power.
Oh yeah, we had an injury timeout here. That I didn't see initially. But right now it is all Danvers.
Jack Strange in for the kick.
Falcons next week will be at Medford, and Peabody will be at Marblehead. Kickoff is returned by the Tanners to the 35, to the 40, and ripped out of bounds. Horse collar, yep.
And also on
That
was a horse caller on the Peabody receiver, a return man, who was Colton Cole. Cole on the return, he got horse collared, I believe.
Looks like that will set Peabody up in Danvers territory, so be very important to get some type of points up here on the board.
Well, they've shown long ball threat, and they, of course, had it last week. But they're down by 20 right now as the officials are discussing where to put the ball. Are you kidding?
Ooh.
Offsetting penalty.
Offsetting.
Unsportsmanlike against Peabody. Face mask against Danvers. Offsetting. Kick it over. The ball was out to the 45. No, just a timeout.
So offsetting penalties, and we're going to re-kick.
They're going to kick it over. You got to be kidding me, man! That was, again.
Yep. They had the penalty on Danvers. Looks like must have been some extracurricular activity after the whistle.
Would have been all the way down to the Danvers 40. There. Well, let's do it again. And that's what we'll do. Leggett will kick it from the 40. Colton Cole is one of the receivers back.
Well, offsetting penalties, and sophomore Max Leach in to kick off for the Falcons this time from the 40-yard line. The 5 and 6 left to go in the third.
The other receiver is Dylan Peluso. So Peluso and Cole are the deep backs, the deep receivers, and they are standing about their own 20-yard line. Beautiful evening. A little bit of a haze. Leggett kicks it to the 25. It's muffed and picked up again by the returner to the 30. And not much there. And there's another penalty. Yeah.
And we're longer on the field this
evening. Starting to get chippy now.
Yeah, that was total. That, dare I say it? That was stupid.
Yep.
Won't mention the kid's name. But after the play, a needless shove punch. The ball is at the Peabody 32, which is where it would be. But it ain't going to stay there. Personal foul on Peabody.
The penalty is on the Tanners. They move the ball back closer to their end zone.
So it was starting at the 30, about the 32. Obviously, the Peabody fans in front of us here are not happy with that.
Yeah, that was pretty cut and dry to me. It just seemed like frustration starting to settle in for Peabody here. But there still is time in this ball game. I'm just going to take it one play at a time, try to get some positive yardage and build some momentum.
Well, it does push it back to the 22 now. So it'll be first and 10, Peabody at their own 22. And they were three and out on their first drive of the second half. Matt Jandrasevitz, most of the offense for the Peabody Tanners through the air. He rifles it off to the right side, and it's incomplete. I don't know who that was intended for. It was three Danvers defenders over there and one Peabody Tanner. I can't catch his number.
It's starting to become a little easier for this Danvers defense. They're really only sitting on the threat of Jandrasevich's arm, as Peabody hasn't really established a run game yet. So,
second and 10 for the Tanners. And they always put the trips out to the wide side of the field. This time it's the far side as the Tanners are moving from right to left. It's a keeper by the quarterback. He's got a lane. He's got big yardage, 25, 30, across the 30 to 31. He's the offense right now. Matty J with some big footwork on the ground out to the 31.
Let's see if Peabody tries to go with a little bit of a hurry up. We saw a tiny bit in the first half. I know that's not what Coach Bancourt's really known for, but maybe just something different, a little wrinkle Danvers hasn't seen yet.
So it's a first down carry for the Tanner quarterback. He wants to throw. Rolling to his right, and he is down at the 20-yard line, and there's also a penalty marker thrown, which will probably be holding.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a hold here.
And I'm sure the Falcons will decline that. The ball's all the way back to the 23. Down to 4:14 in the third quarter, and man, Peabody just can't get any rhythm. Stanford's defense is looking tougher and tougher.
Yeah, they're definitely looking really solid. Again, Peabody really hasn't shown a run game yet. It just makes it a little easier for the Danvers defense. Really sit on Jandrasevich, and really key in on him.
Well, Luis Garides and, well, especially Angel Paulino are threats on the ground, but not tonight.
A testament to Danvers' front seven there, controlling the line of scrimmage, really making it tough for them to get any type of momentum going.
Almost 20 yards to go, first and second and 20, way back at the 22. This is a run play. Bounce it outside to the maybe the 30-yard line, still pushing the ball. And I think that's Paulino. No, it's 21, not 41. And
Ron Remetig on the tackle there. Big play by the senior.
That's Russell. Declan Russell with the carry. He gets 4 yards.
The
Stanford defense really does a good job moving sideline to sideline. And pursuing the ball. Peabody, a few times, have tried to get to that outside edge and really have had no luck. Danvers just keeping everything in front of them.
Ball spotted at the 25, so it's only a couple yards. It's third and 18 for the first down. Clock moving at 3 minutes. Jandrasevich fires it out to the right side short. It is complete at the 25 and upended at the 27-yard line for a very, very short gain.
Ezra Lombardi on the tackle on the pass.
Good stick by Lombardi there, holding his ground. He's having a good ball game here on defense, and then again he got the long touchdown pass from Tracy to start things off here in the second half for Danvers. Peabody with no choice here but to punt it away.
So Peluso with the short completion of just a few yards to the 27, 28, and it'll be fourth down and 12. Clock still moving at 2:22. It's an end-over-end punt that hits at the 47 of Peabody and rolls all the way down to the 40-yard line of Danvers. So a good roll on the punt, but once again, just can't get anything going on offense. Total of 6 yards on that possession. Peabody still hasn't broken 100 yet on offense. Their only points coming on a 40-yard field goal from Leap, Max Leap with the 40-yarder. Well, Danvers takes over now with their own 40 on the near hash mark. They're going from left to right, 2:14 left to go. Beautiful evening here. We've got two games tomorrow, Gloucester at Beverly and North Reading and Hamilton Wenham here on MSO. So tune into those. And we'll have more discussion on Monday night as well from the Danvers 40-yard line. Whoa. See you later. Lights out on that run play. Nothing.
Yeah, a little slow to get up here. That was a big collision.
That was, Tracy keeping it. I bet he wish he hadn't. 1 yard gain, second and 9, Danvers. Falcons and Peabody in their annual Robo Clash. Talk 'em robots here. John Wallfield is the center. He's the captain for the Danvers Falcons. Brings them out. They've got twins off to the left. One side, one receiver on the near side. One man in the backfield with Tracy. Tracy is looking to his left all the way. Shoots it over that way. It's caught by McCarthy, of course. First down at the Peabody 42.
Tracy, move those sticks. That's another Falcon. First down.
That's a nice arc, a nice touch on it, and then McCarthy goes up and fingertips it. It's out to 43 is where they put it.
We've seen McCarthy be used as a bell cow back tonight, but he certainly looks like no slouch. Split out wide at receiver as well. Good set of hands on him. Just a real versatile player. I'm impressed.
Third catch for 80 yards for McCarthy. He's got 12 run plays for 70. So he's over 200 again, all-purpose yards, as he was last week. Down to 1 minute left to go, third quarter. Peabody gets a first and 10. Check it. Danvers gets a first and 10 at the Peabody 43. Here's an end around. Is that McCarthy again?
Yep.
McCarthy on the carry.
He was set up at the end. Came around on the sweep to the right side. Gets it to the 37.
What I like about McCarthy is you don't see it too much out of backs with his build. Not the biggest guy, but he's not afraid to put his foot on the ground and get north-south. A lot of times we'll see guys try to go east-west or bounce runs. McCarthy does a good job putting his foot on the ground and getting what he can, getting positive yards.
That's the 37, so it's a 3-yard gain. That's his 13th carry. And he sets up everywhere. He's the tailback in the eye. He gets out in the slot. He gets out at wide receiver. Plays defense.
Very impressive.
Yeah, 15, 14, and 13 seconds left. I don't think Danvers wants to run the play. So they're going to let the clock run down here in the third quarter. And they're holding on to a 23-3 lead with just one touchdown here in the third quarter. And that was from Tracy Tulombardi that covered 52 yards at the end of three from Clark to Daring Stadium. It is Danvers 23 and Peabody 3.
Stable businesses form the backbone of strong communities, and nothing provides greater advantage than having strong business banking professionals behind you. Since 1846, businesses on Cape Ann have leveraged the strength and stability of Cape Ann Savings Bank to grow and thrive. Let's talk about your business. Call 978-283-0246 or visit capeannsavings.bank to learn how we can help you grow your business your way. Cape Ann Savings Bank, built on stability.
Member FDIC, member DIF.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
As we start the fourth quarter, it is second and five for Danvers at the 37 of Peabody. One man in the backfield. It's a lateral out to the right, deep right. Lombardi catches it at the 40, goes forward to the 35 and close to the 30-yard line. That didn't look like a forward pass, but it was very successful. Was that a forward pass, Adam? What do you think?
It was definitely very close. That's for sure.
But we'll make it a forward pass.
Yeah.
All right. It is a first down.
Yeah, we'll give it to him.
That's right.
Everything clicking for the Danvers offense tonight.
Needed five. They got five. Now it's first and 10 at the 32, and you got to think that, boy, another touchdown. The way the Danvers defense is playing.
Yeah, Peabody's really going to have to pin their ears back, try to get a turnover here, if anything.
Yeah, no turnovers in the game to this point. One man in a shotgun with Tracy. Looks to the left, fakes. Now he throws it long, high, and deep. McCarthy, yes, off his fingertips. He was outstretched at the two, and it was just a tad overthrown. And you know, here's the thing. When he throws the ball, McCarthy's covered.
Right, exactly.
But he just knows he's going to get uncovered.
Exactly. Good, great speed out there. Tremendous effort, just a couple inches short.
Well, did it on that play.
It's just a confidence booster for a quarterback like Tracy to know he's got an athlete that he can just throw the ball up to and trust that he's going to make a play on it.
Second down and 10 from the Peabody 30-yard line. Tracy back to pass. He just pops it over the middle. It is complete. I think it's still Lombardi who squeezes loose and gets it inside the 20 to the 19.
On the catch.
You see the number, Adam, of the receiver?
I did not. He's got caught up in the scrum.
Right next to four. Oh, man. Is it seven?
I want it. Three. Number three.
Oh, okay. So Vargas. How many Vargas with the
receptions? Again for another Falcons. First down.
Well, you heard that from Brent Gable. Mr. Gable, a business teacher here at Danvers High School. Covering for Sean, who's not here tonight. And it's first and 10 on the far hash mark. As the Tanners continue to drive.
First and 10 Falcons from the Tanners 20-yard line. 9:47 left to go in the game.
Be the seventh play of this drive that started on their own 40. I formation. Two-man I. Tailback McCarthy.
Oh, ball is on the ground.
It is loose. And it's covered up way back at the 30 by an alert Tracy. I don't think McCarthy quite had it when he was hit. Best defensive play of the night for Peabody, but they couldn't quite come up with the ball.
Yeah, there was a good surge by Peabody's defensive line. Like you said, McCarthy didn't really have the ball in his grasp when contact came.
Second and 20. Big 10-yard loss for the Danvers Falcons. But they're leading rather comfortably, 23-3 in this one. Second game of the season, each team coming in at 1-0. For Coach Ryan Nolan,
in his second season now. 7 wins, 5 losses in his career as head coach of the Danvers Falcons. Got one receiver off to the left with the eye behind Tracy. Once again,
McCarthy, hit the backfield,
McCarthy goes down as just as he got the ball. Great defense on the part of the Peabody Tanners. Looked like it was Brandon Kniff as one of the guys back there.
It looks like 64, Aiden Kelleher was in on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So these last few plays, really the first sign of life we've seen out of the Peabody front seven. Unfortunately, might be a little too late.
Well, if they can stop them here, it could pick up the offense, certainly. It's 3rd and 20 or 21 to go for the first down at the 31-yard line. Rolling to his right is Tracy. He's going to pass it, and it's complete at the 12-yard line. And the way the receiver broke loose, I think it might be McCarthy. It's a first down. Oh, my, at the 10. I don't know who the receiver was.
Made the catch and moved those chains to the Falcon. First down.
Justin DiTomaso.
What it looked like happened, McCarthy ran the deep route. I saw about four Tanners chasing him. It allowed number 12 to slip right in underneath uncovered.
Well, that makes sense. And Tracy hit him. And then DiTomaso did not have the first down, but he broke loose to get it. To the 10, the sticks are up. No, the sticks are down. So it's first and goal from the 10. On the far hash mark, and Danvers takes another timeout. I'll go back to my sheet here and see. That's their third of this half. And they're leading 23-3. Two games tomorrow here on MSO. As we mentioned, we'll have Gloucester at Beverly. That's a big early season game for both schools, with Gloucester up one and Beverly down one. North Reading and Hamilton-Wenham, and Hamilton-Wenham trying to come back from a loss in its opener. Both games tomorrow here on MSO. There's that full house eye formation behind Tracy. On the far hash mark, long count. McCarthy gets it. He kind of stutter steps to the line trying to pick a hole. And there's a flag long after the play was over. McCarthy got maybe a yard or two. And then the flag came by the referee. Well, personal foul on Peabody. Oh, my goodness. McCarthy only got a yard or two. It was a good defensive play. But it's the first and goal now from the 5.
The goal from about the 3.5-yard line. About the 4-yard line for the Falcons.
So 3 carries, 16, 76 yards. 76 yards for McCarthy on the ground. It's second and goal, the first and goal from the 4. McCarthy heading toward the end zone, bringing the pile forward. And stopped at the goal line.
Ball carrier trying to get to the end zone, but just short.
So maybe 3 more yards for McCarthy. 17th carry.
Good push there from the Danvers defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Coach Nolan here, you're just preaching ball security. Don't want to cause a turnover here. Protect the ball. Put some points on the board and try to put this game away.
And they are eating up the clock, too. I mean, they started this drive with two-something left to go in the third. We're down a 6-10 now here in the fourth.
6-10 left to go in the ball game.
So this time, Peabody takes the timeout. I'm Rick Moore, along with Adam Philpott tonight. Our producer and engineer is Bill Kropotsky. We will have, again, 2 games tomorrow, and then on Monday night, we'll have MSNO Sports. We've got a couple of coaches lined up already. Jim Runloff of Marblehead is scheduled to be a guest on Monday on MSO. Of course, Gary Larrabee will always be along. And we'll talk with Scott Cooper. He'll talk a little Swampscott and Marblehead sports, not just football. So, Danvers just really controlling this thing from the outset. Ready to put the exclamation point on it right now. Second and goal from, it looks like, the 1. Ife behind Tracy, the quarterback. Long count. Hands it off to McCarthy. And he's in. It was almost inevitable.
McCarthy on the carry for another Falcons touchdown.
Third of the night for McCarthy. For Danvers, that's 12 more plays and 60 more yards. And they just have absolutely controlled this game. 337 yards of offense for the Danvers Falcons, 92 for the Peabody Tanners. 18 carries, 80 yards on the ground for McCarthy, 3 touchdowns. 6:06 left to go in the ball game. It's 29-3. And Danvers takes the timeout again.
With 6:06 left to go in the ball game.
So they got one timeout left. But they, I don't think they're going to need it. McCarthy's third of the night. He's got a 9-yard run on the ground for a touchdown back in the second quarter to go along with a 44-yard pass reception from Tracy for a touchdown. And this time it's a 1-yard grind him on the ground type that finished off a 12-play, 60-yard touchdown drive with 6:06 left to go. And the score is 30 now as the point after is good.
And Leach sticks another one through there, so 6:06 left to go in the ball game. It's your hometown Falcons 30 and the visiting guest 3.
Well, not going to get any easy for Peabody next week. They go to Marblehead. And Marblehead racked up 55 points a week ago. New offense, new defense for Coach Betancourt, so little wrinkles. But Danvers, this is second season for Coach Nolan as a head coach, but he's been in the system quite a while.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with the way they've operated on offense tonight. Just the efficiency, the balance between the pass and the run game. Trace has been great. Accuracy with the football, and then again, having a back like McCarthy and just an all-around athlete certainly makes Coach Nolan's job a whole lot easier.
And I think, again, you have to note the line play of Tom Walfield, Andrew Cronus, Jacob Stone, Lance Ledesma, Ron Murphy on offense, and Walfield, Stone, Abood, and Ledesma on defense. Those big guys up front have sort of controlled the game. End-over-end kick, going to come down to the near side to the 20, 25, going out the other way. Cole returns it to the 30... 5 or 37 yard line. So, Peabody will get the ball again and see if they can get something on the board late in this game, trailing by 27. Returned by Colton Cole. He's a senior wide receiver. And let's see who's out there now. Peabody will start this drive at the 37-yard line. Their own 37.
First down, 10. This is from their own 37-yard line.
5:58 to go.
5:58 left to go in the ball game.
And there's a pass that's complete out to the 48-yard line of Danvers.
I'm having trouble reading the number, but it looks like that Peabody's changed quarterback.
Yeah, I can't see it either. I don't know who got the reception. But it's a big pass play to the 49-yard line of Danvers.
Yeah, so number 18, the sophomore Alex Danisco is in at QB for Peabody now. And that was a nice, strong throw from the sophomore.
14-yard gain, first and 10. And I apologize for not knowing who the receiver was. Lots of new jerseys in on both sides. And once again, the quarterback wants to throw way downfield, looking for a receiver at the 20. It's knocked down. That was intended for Declan Russell.
Lombardi
knocks it away.
And even though Peabody might not have performed the way they had hoped or the way Coach Betancourt hoped, it's nice to get these young guys in the game, and these are still meaningful plays for them. It's invaluable experience. Get out in front of a varsity crowd in this type of atmosphere. So there's still some good that can be taken from this game in this last 5 minutes.
Alex
Zanisco is the quarterback. Did you have any experience like that early on, Adam?
Absolutely, especially with the level of talent that we had in my freshman, sophomore years. And that's something Coach Ingram always told us, you know, take advantage of it, go in there. Because like I said, just to get the experience, it really helps in your latter years. And I think that really made a huge difference as we got to, you know, become juniors and seniors. Kind of take that shock factor out of your initial varsity experience, so to speak.
Coach used to tell me that Zanisco is sacked back at the 40-yard line as we sort out another penalty. Paul used to say also, he still does say that when you can get the younger kids in, and I'm asking you with your experience way back then, he said it makes it easier for practice because the younger kids know that they have a chance to get in the game, and so there's sort of a purpose when you get out there as a freshman or sophomore when you're practicing with a varsity.
Oh, definitely. It kind of just raises the whole level of competition. It makes you work that much harder in practice as a young guy, knowing if I, you know, show my skills and show what I can do, I might have an opportunity to get in the game at some point. And I saw on a handful of occasions, sometimes a young guy gets in a critical spot in a game, whether it's an injury or whatnot. So just always being ready.
Well, it's third and about 9,000 yards to go for Peabody back at their own 25-yard line. And this is a pass from Zanisco out to the 34-yard line. That is complete. Got to go to my depth chart here. The receiver is Brandon Pazzini.
29-yard line, so 14 on the carry, on the pass.
Ball is at the 34, which is close to the original line of scrimmage. And so it's third and still 20 or so. Another pass. The flat down the left sideline, almost intercepted at the Peabody 42. The pass was intended for Jacob Ridley.
John Kelcher on the coverage.
So the clock stops with 4:09 left to go, and the score remains 30-3. Danvers leading this one comfortably. It's been a long time since either team has had that kind of a margin on the other. Ball is close to the 35, and they have to get all the way down inside the Danvers 40 for a first down, so I think a punt is probably in order for the Peabody Tanners at this point, and they will go regroup for their game next week and see if they can get this offense in sync. Timeout.
And the Tanners call Peabody. Timeout with 4:09 left to go in the ball game.
Now the other side of the coin, Adam. When you're a senior, and some of the games you were in, you guys were up early and often, and you didn't get to play a lot in the second half. What's that feel like, letting the young kids come in? Because you've earned this spot, you've worked so hard for 4 years. What did that feel like?
I mean, speaking for my team, I know we always look forward to being able to getting the young guys in games like that because they practice hard all week. Guys that are on scout team, and you know, they take their beating from the starters and whatnot. So to be able to get them in the game and see the excitement for them, it really was something that we took pride in. Okay, let's handle our business and try to get these young guys in the game, get us some experience. And it really helps to build that team chemistry as well, you know, just brings that bunch that much closer.
I would think it builds a culture of support and trust, of teamwork, actually. All right, so there's a punt for the Peabody Tanners. Nobody back for Danvers. It's going to roll inside the 25 down to the 21-yard line with just inside 4 minutes left to go. So a very dominant win here tonight for the Danvers Falcons. Just did it on both sides of the ball. They have limited the Peabody Tanners to a total of 89 yards of offense. And last week we saw Lynn English hold Beverly to 5 yards of offense in the entire second half. So this is kind of weird things going on here early on in the season in the NEC. I'm sure the Falcons will have a bunch of new jerseys in there as well. 3:57 left to go out at the 21-yard line of Danvers. Coach Betancourt substituting freely, as is
McDermott in the quarterback.
Coach Nolan. New quarterback in the game with the I formation. And Darren McDermott is the new quarterback into the game at the 20. Long count, I formation. Handoff on a run play. Ball carrier stood up and gang tackled after about a 1 yard gain. And if you can see the number, my man, I can't. 14 maybe? That would be John Kelter. No hurry
on the carry for the Falcons.
To come out of the huddle. 2 yard gain for Kelter.
Second down and eight with 3:32.
3:30 left to go in the ball game. Falcons very slowly getting to the line of scrimmage, milking the clock with the big 27-point lead. McDermott will pitch it into the backfield, and there's a gang tackle by the entire Peabody defense except for two other guys. Nine guys in on the stop.
Richard Canova on the carry.
Number 17, a junior, Richard Canova. Takes the punishment for the Falcons, according to Brent Gable up here. He's the PA today. And turns out to be about a 4 yard loss. Third down and 11 for the first down. Clock moving at 2:44. Very decisive win tonight for the Danvers Falcons. And they'll go to 2-0. High behind McDermott. He'll pitch it. And the running back is going to break a couple tackles and be. Again,
Erie on the carry. Good run by the freshman there up to the
21 players in him. Did you see that?
Down. Yeah. Tough run by the freshman. Tough run there.
Woo! Mercy. Oh, my goodness. I don't know who carried the ball, but it was ridiculous as everybody just met him there.
Yeah, it looked like number 7, Chase Erie.
Okay.
The freshman running back. That was an impressive run there by the freshman.
Yeah, until the end of it.
Until it was taken down by a swarm of white jerseys there.
Yeah, and then the blue guys came over to join in. I don't remember seeing anything like that, but there was just one guy away from all those that massive bodies. It is at the 25-yard line after an impressive 6-yard gain. Inside 2 minutes now. Down to 1:44. Cole is back as the lone return man. Well, now he's got a receiver off to his left. Low snap, but it's fielded and punted away by the Falcons, and Cole is going to catch it on the run at the 40. Ooh. Spins away at the, well, didn't quite get to the 50. Gets to, yeah, he does.
DiTommaso on the tackle.
DiTommaso tackles Cole right at the 50-yard line. Well, minute and 28 left to go in this one, and I guess we can start wrapping it up. But a very impressive win, would you say?
Absolutely. I was thoroughly impressed with the way Danvers performed today on both sides of the ball, really.
128 left to go in the ball game.
If you're Peabody, definitely got to have some short-term memory put in the rear view, especially going on to face a Marblehead team who I've been able to see a few times here in the last couple of years, and definitely a potent offense that can, you know, put some points on the board. So they're going to have to put this one behind them and have a quick turnaround and get a good week of practicing.
Yeah, I like what you say about the short-term memory thing. Forget about it. Clean up everything and go get them. All right, so there's a short pass that's incomplete.
Pass incompleted, tempo number 9, Dylan Peluso.
I have to go to the depth chart here. The quarterback again is McDermott. And Dylan Peluso was the intended receiver. Anthony, I'll check it. Alex Danisco is the quarterback. I'm sorry. Danisco is the quarterback. Peluso, the intended receiver. Second and 10. They did not stop the clock. Okay, on the incompletion. Here's a run play for the Peabody Tanners.
That's 50, Mike Shannon in on the tackle.
Angel Polino with a short gain
two on the play.
To the 48 of Danvers.
Got a gain of one on the play.
Yeah, you're right. Just 1 yard for the 49 of Danvers. And the clock is moving with 50 seconds left to go. So maybe, Adam, we can do a quick summary here, and then
for sure
we can get out of here and I can get down the field and try to get an interview or two. But as we watch this play out, your impressions of the game, and then I'll go over the scoring in a little while. But Danvers from start to finish, really.
Yeah, they controlled both sides of the ball. Really dynamic on offense, led by McCarthy. He was the feature.
Well, we almost saw a touchdown run, 40-yard run by
down around the 12-yard line
by Peluso. 18
seconds left to go in the ball game. Moved the chain for the first down.
So you got all the way down to 12. I'm sorry, longest run of the game. Yeah.
37-yard gain by Angel Polino. And he's headed for the end zone, and he's going to be very close with time moving on, and I think that's going to do it. Okay, so Polino makes it interesting here at the end.
And that's the ball game.
Gets it down to the 4-yard gain. I'm sorry, I have to say.
No, just very impressed with Danvers as a whole. I saw some offense that I wasn't typical of Danvers when I was playing, but Coach Nolan does a good job implementing a lot of different formations and mixing up the run and the pass. I was impressed with the quarterback Tracy and his accuracy. And obviously, Matt McCarthy was the show today with, I think, 3 touchdowns. The threat in the running game, the passing game, and the return game. He can do it all. But I was also impressed with the quarterback from Peabody, Jandrovich. Unfortunately, he was kind of had to shoulder the load, and Peabody was never able to get that run game established. And also, I think penalties played a huge role. I think that'll be something that Coach Bancourt's going to harp on here in the week coming, is you got to try to limit the penalties as best you can, because that really killed them. You don't want to say one thing really prevented you from winning, but today, with the amount of penalties and the costly ones that Peabody had, they just never really had a chance to get some momentum.
Absolutely. Jandrasevich was pretty much the offense for the Peabody Tanners, and we'll go over those stats in just a second here, until the end of the game there when Polino racked up some big yards. Well, the final score is 30-3. I want to thank Adam Philpott for coming by and sitting in for Paul Ingram. And we'll be back to wrap this thing up in just a second. Final score, as we said, is the Danvers Falcons 30 and the Peabody Tanners 3. I'll be back with the wrap in just a second.
Summer at the Gloucester House Restaurant in Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linguata.
Where you can sit on the dock, you can watch the lobster boats unload their fresh catches every day. You can sit right there on the dock. And this year, I think we're going to do something different. We're actually going to serve baked haddock specials outside, right on the dock.
The Gloucester House is a great spot for corporate functions, anniversaries, birthdays, rehearsal dinners.
We serve the freshest seafood from our boats to your plate. Only at the Gloucester House in Blue Collar Lobster.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Well, 3 more touchdowns from Matt McCarthy tonight to go with the scores he had last week, and the Peabody Tanners have seen how number 5 works. And Danvers cruises to a 30-3 win. I'm Rick Moore, along with Adam Philpott, our producer and engineer, Bill Tapaski. And the game opened up with a 27-yard field goal with 2:56 left to go in the first quarter by the Max Leach of the Danvers Falcons, and that finished off a 12-play, 54-yard scoring drive that put Danvers out on top 3-0 at the end of the first. McCarthy scored the first of his 3 touchdowns with 7:34 left to go in the first half on a 9-yard sweep that completed a 7-play, 51-yard touchdown drive by Danvers, and they led 10-0. He came right back with a minute and 30 left to go in the half on a 44-yard pass reception from the Danvers quarterback, Brandon Tracy, and that finished off a long drive as well, and I didn't write it down here for some reason. But for the Falcons, they went up 17-3 with a minute and 30 seconds left to go in the first half. And let me see, that was the second touchdown, so let me just catch the drive, how much that was. McCarthy, there it was. So that was 5 plays and 98 yards. At the end of the half, because a punt had pinned Danvers back at their own 2-yard line, but they put together a 98-yard touchdown drive before Leggett scored from 40 yards out on a field goal for Peabody to get them on the board with 2 seconds left to go in the first half, and that ended the first half scoring with Peabody on top. Tanners came back, check it, Danvers on top. Danvers came back with 2 more scores in the game.
In the third quarter, it was Tracy to Lombardi that covered 52 yards. That made the score 23-3. And then McCarthy, a one-yard dive. That was a 12-play, 60-yard drive with 6:06 left to go in the game. And that finished off the scoring at 30-3. McCarthy, the story of the game on offense once again. 18 carries, 80 yards on the ground, 3 receptions for 80 yards in the air, and probably about 60 yards on kickoff returns. So another good, spectacular night for Matt McCarthy. And for Jandra Sevitz, he had, again, those 80 yards of offense in the first half through the air. The Tanners finished with only 89 yards total. Meanwhile, Danvers racked up 341 yards of offense to go to 2-0 in the season, and Peabody falls to 1-1. Coach Ryan Nolan, he is now 8-5 in his career at Danvers High School. Mark Betancourt now is 28 losses to go with his 29 wins. Excuse me. So we've got games next week. It'll be Peabody at Marblehead, and Danvers travels to Medford. Check out our website to find out what games will be broadcast. Somerville at Lynn English over on Channel B right now. Tomorrow, Gloucester at Beverly on Channel A. North Reading and Hamilton when I'm on Channel B. So for Adam Philpott, for our producer and engineer, Bill Poposky, I'm Rick Moore, wishing you a very pleasant good evening from Dr. Deering Stadium. The final score, Danvers 30 and Peabody 3. This is MSO News Sports.